Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the place. We're here again tonight, and we'll believe in God for speak to you personally and speak to me and whoever else needs ministry tonight to build you up, give you something to look forward to from the Lord. So if you're into all that, you'll be into what we do. And so join in and call the number 319-527-6027. And get in, and we'll talk to you personally. Yeah, we will do it. All right. So, all right. Hopefully, everybody's doing good tonight. We're going to be just ministering and praying and believing God for all kinds of things. I'm kind of have Israel on my mind the last couple of days, and it seems like everything's fine over there right now, but. But I read some scripture today about Israel. I want to just say this right up front, kind of get this in the beginning, and we'll see kind of if it's going to go anywhere. I don't really believe that anyone's going to help Israel. Some people think the United States will do that. I don't think they're going to be in a condition to be able to help Israel. So I think that's kind of go, I think Irvin Baxter said for years, he's dead now, but he's got his show going on. He believed that the wings that saved Israel was the United States. Like, the United States came from England, and England is the lion with the wings. It talks about it in the Bible. And it says the wings were removed. As we know, the wings were removed from, those from the lion, and became, some people think that it became the United States. And but I really don't, and he thinks that Israel is going to be helped a lot by the United States. I personally don't think that God's going to allow that to happen, mainly because it doesn't mean Israel, the United States is going to be against Israel. I don't know if it'd be against Israel or just not able to help or won't help. Because of the scripture I read today, and I kind of got this today, and I want to plant this into you. No one's going to help Israel, but especially not the United States in the time that they're going to need help. Only God. God is a jealous God. He doesn't want anybody to save his people, his Israel, his Jewish people, but him. And it doesn't mean that we don't bless Israel and, all that. I have a calling to Israel. So it's really cool. But as Zechariah 12, verse 3 says, it will happen in the last day, or in that day, excuse me, it will happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the peoples. All who burden themselves with it, with Israel, will be severely wounded, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered together against it. Now, I'm not saying that that's the United States going to be gathered against it so much. Okay, let's go here. Let's go here. What am I doing? And so, that, according to that scripture, and I looked up some of the words to see what they meant. And it says that that even though I don't think the United States will be against Israel, I just don't think it's going to be able to help Israel the way Israel is going to need help. And we may not even be for them necessarily at that time. I really don't know for sure the details on that. But I do know this, that God showed me this many years ago. And so when I heard Urban Baxter say that I kind of like the thing. It's kind of cool, you know, the United States helping Israel in the wings that takes the woman off into the wilderness. So she's taken into the wilderness by the wings of an eagle. And he says that's the United States. I now don't believe that at all. I tried to believe that. I thought it was pretty cool. But, you know, when Israel came out of Egypt, delivered by God and God only, it says that very same scripture basically says he carried them out with the wings of an eagle. So I think it has nothing to do with the United States of America, sad to say. Sorry about that, Urban Baxter, son, whoever, whatever his name is. So Zechariah 12, verse 3 says, it will happen in that day that I will make, the Lord is going to make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. And you look at the word burdensome, and you see some of the words here are oppressive. You know, I will make them a burdensome stone. Let me get that going here. You know, I would wish the United States could do it, but I just don't think it's not that God can't get the United States to help Israel. The point is that God is not going to allow it to happen. And so it's going to happen that day that I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. So look at the word burdensome. And burdensome means oppressive, an oppressive stone, a troublesome stone, a weighty stone, a worrisome, vexation. You know, yeah, inconvenient, awkward, harsh, severe, formidable, and it goes on. A lot of really negative words. So we're hearing here in Zechariah 12, verse 3, says, it will happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the peoples, for all the peoples. And it says, and all who burden themselves with Israel will be severely wounded. Why? Because they're burdensome stone. In other words, it's going to be troublesome. It's going to be weighty. When you try to help Israel, God's God, not the devil, God. The reason that we need to talk about this a little bit tonight, is, I just want to touch on this, is because if you don't understand this, you're going to start thinking that, you know, a lot of the things that's going on with Israel is the devil. Well, does God use the devil? Absolutely. He did it with Joseph. Why can't he do it with Jerusalem? Joseph and Jerusalem, right? And so I think that we need to make sure that we don't overlook the fact that the Bible says that God will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. Why is he going to make it cause them a lot of problems? That's going to cause them a lot of problems. It's going to make them like nobody wants to help them, because every time somebody tries to help them, something happens, right? Something happens. And so it's not the devil doing that. It's God doing it overall. He may use the devil, but it's God. God says, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the peoples. And all who burden themselves with Israel will be severely wounded, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered together against it. Why is that going to happen? Now, when it says all the nations, it doesn't mean Christians. It doesn't mean believers. It means within the nations, there's going to be ungodly leaders, like maybe even the United States, leaders who don't believe in Israel and in God, in the God of Israel. There's going to be leaders in every nation all over the world, obviously, who do not believe that, or they wouldn't be coming against Israel. So it's more the leadership of most nations, and it says here all nations, but all nations, some of these words can be very tricky, because sometimes they'll say all nations, then they'll turn right around and say, well, this country's not going to, and that country's not going to. So it's kind of, but most nations who even have Christians in them, the Christians are not going to be against Israel, but the nation's leaders will be against Israel. And God is the one doing that. Why? Why would God do this, something like that? That sounds horrible. Why wouldn't he get some nations to help him? I mean, come on. Because God is a jealous God. This is what he showed me years and years ago. And I even gave a word about Obama, you know, right when he became president. I remember the exact date on that, but I gave a word that he would, betray Israel, and he did. Maybe he thought he was doing the right thing. You know, everybody thinks they're doing the right thing. They're going to persecute God's people. They're going to kill God's people thinking they're doing them a favor, right? So sometimes the enemy can get us to do things, you know, like even Peter denying the Lord. So sometimes, the enemy can get us to do things, and then later we go, oh, wow, I can't believe I did that. Well, this is what's going to happen. And so God is going to turn the nation against him because he wants to save Israel all by his little self, all by his big self. God wants to save Israel all by himself. All right, so I think the reason I'm even bringing this up is because I've had Jerusalem, I've had Israel on my mind the last few days, and I've had some confirmation that, some things are up there, even though right now it looks somewhat peaceful. It looks like somewhat they're changing political leaders, that kind of thing. So that within itself means a lot, which, we may talk about later. But the reason Israel's important, friend, is because it's where we are at in the end times. And we're going to watch things. Israel will be a lot of confirmation about where we are in the end times. And that is in a place that most people don't want to be because they don't understand the end times. They think the end times are going to be horrible for Christians. And is it going to be troublesome? Yeah. It's going to be like the book of Acts. But it's not going to be horrible for Christians because God's going to use Christians in the midst of all of it to, do all kinds of things, mainly glorify God. So we're going to see Israel being, like God's going to raise up anti-Semitism. God is going to do that. Oh, the devil's going to do that, Randy. Well, I don't know. The Bible says right here that I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the people. Why? Because he didn't want anybody, any nation, any military might saving Israel but himself because he's a jealous God and he wants to show that his people will have to depend on him because they will know that the leaders of the nations, not the Christians around the world and all the nations, but the leaders of nations will be bent on coming together in agreement to take down Israel. Israel is a blessed land. Israel is the place that God used Abraham to walk out. You're talking about prayer walking. Abraham did prayer walking. If you don't believe in prayer walking, maybe just look at the Bible about Abraham and some men of God. So Abraham was one of the big prayer walkers. He walked out Israel. He walked out the promised land and Israel and Jerusalem and that kind of thing before it ever became that. So when you understand that the literal physical land blessing of God, we talked about this last night, and I want to talk about it just a little bit more tonight, because I want you to understand, friend, that when you receive the blessing of the Lord, and when you're walking with God, the earth itself is waiting for you to bless it. It's waiting for you to unburden it. So in Romans 8, where it talks about the earth groans in travail and pain and suffering until the sons of God show up. Let's just read that scripture here. Let me get that for you. All right, let's go to Romans here. Romans 8:22 says that we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up until the present time. The pains of childbirth right up until the present time. Let's read more of that. Let's go back here. Look at the English Standard Version just for the fun of it. I want to go somewhere with this tonight. The future glory. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy of comparing with the glory that shall be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing, verse 19. The creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And so one of the things I want to say about this is that, you know, the reason that we need to understand that the earth was created by God to take care of us. I mean, God's the one who takes care of us, but he created the earth so that the earth would feed us and protect us and give us a place to raise families and enjoy life. You know, it's the earth was made. God put it in the DNA of the earth, if you will, to take care of Adam and Eve, the sons and daughters of God. And so, you know, it's like when I talked about this last night a little bit, but when Adam and Eve would, you know, eat of the fruit of the trees and eat the herbs, it would make the earth happy, because it's just like we talked about last night, a nurturing mother who gives birth to a child, you know, has built within it the milk to give suck from its breast to nurture it and feed it. And it makes the mother extremely happy, right? I mean, when mothers know that their milk is nurturing their child and that it's the most natural way that God can do that, then it brings great satisfaction and joy. It's the same thing. The earth was made to bring satisfaction in the natural realm. And the earth was made from the glory of God. The earth was made from the glory, out of the glory. It was pure. It was holy. The ground was holy. The dirt was holy. The trees were holy. The water was holy. All the bushes and the trees and the fruit, everything was holy. Everything was holy. And friend, the atmosphere that you're in your house, in your home, in the land you're on, when it has sin running rampant in it, whether it's your neighbors or maybe before you got saved, now you're saved and your land is being sanctified, what happens is the dirt itself was created with glory. The dirt itself was created with glory in it. The trees were created with glory. The first creative miracle that God did, as far as we know, in the earth realm, was create dirt, was to create trees, was to create seed and apples and fish and animals. Everything he created from his glory. So when you and I start praying over our land, our property, our houses, our homes, or we're believing God for some property to move on and build a house, which is God's provision for you, which is God's purpose for you, it is God's will for you. There's no question about it. Does God want me to have a house and a home and have my own property and land? Yes, no doubt about it, if you're born again. He wants every man to have. So when a house is blessed, when the dirt and the land you're on, the property you're on, you prayer walk it like Abraham prayer walked, you know, the land of Canaan. What it did is it began to recognize that glory that was on, that used to be on Adam and Eve, and it was, the earth was made to bring fruit forth for them. That was the purpose of the earth, was to bring fruit and food and protection and all of it for them. That's what it was made for. God made the earth. And when he created it, he said, take care. Basically, he said, take care of Adam and Eve. And I'm going to give them dominion over the whole earth. And you're going to take care of them. You're going to nurture them. You're going to feed them with the food that I put in you. And everything in you is there to take care. So today, the reason that we need to understand that and start getting this in our spirit and meditating on it is because when we bless the dirt and the earth and the trees and even your house, even though it has sheetrock or whatever it has in it, metal, or whatever you got in there, it all came from the earth. Everything came from the earth. So when you begin to pray and bless and anoint and set apart and fill the room with the presence of God, that starts to create within that those elements, because they came from glory. They were made by glory. They were made by the glory of God. God's glory created all the things that are in the earth. Everything you see, there's not nothing you see that was not made out of glory. I don't care if it's plastic. It may be man's way, but it came somehow, some way from God's creation. And therefore, within it, somehow, some way, it has the potential to, if you will, release the glory of God. Because that's how it was made. Just like you and I, when we start getting right with God, we were made to glorify God. So what happens? The presence of God starts coming through us. And that same presence starts getting on the earth that's around us. And it starts to awaken the earth and go, wow, you know, I remember this. This is glory. I was made from glory. And it starts to set the earth free. And then the atmosphere that you live in, the presence of your house, your home, your land, your property, your trees, whatever you have, the sky over you, all that starts to help you and to bless you and to be on your side instead of being against you. Because atmospheres can be against you, right? We're talking about hemisphere, we're talking about atmospheres, we're talking about, you know, you go to a certain region where there's a lot of demon and witchcraft stuff, what do you feel? You feel resistance. You feel like something's trying to get you, right? Even though you don't see anything, you feel it. Why? Because that is the unredeemed. That's the earth. That's the earth that's in groaning and in pain, and it's been subject to evil. Therefore, it resonates pain and suffering and evil. And so that's why people who get in properties and lands that have the presence of evil in them, that's why there's murder and violence, because that's what goes on. The pain that the earth is in, you know, begins to, you know, touch you. It touches you. You can feel it. When you go into a city where there's a lot of sin, where there's a lot of unrighteousness going on, you can feel the resistance of hell. And it's not just the demons, friend. It penetrates through the sheetrock, through the doors, through the ground, through the floors, through the wood, through the plastic, through everything. It penetrates through all of it. But when you walk in and you begin to speak and believe and pray and speak to the earth, you know, that you can, you know, be free from that pain and that suffering, because I'm an obedient covenant son and daughter of God. And when I come, you know, you can now be turned back into what you were, just like you and I. When we were heathens, we were lost. We were being used to bring forth a presence of confusion, a presence of evil, a presence of being lost, the presence of, you know, doubt and unbelief, because that's what we were. But when you got born again, now you bring forth something completely different, a completely different atmosphere, a completely different presence starts penetrating through you. And it's the same thing with the elements around you, friend. That's not, it's stuff that's not just dead. It may look dead. It may be chopped up and maybe some sheetrock and some stuff made in the factory. But everything in that came from God. And when you and I start realizing that, we're going to find out that the earth and the atmosphere and the bugs and the dogs and the animals, why do you think in the last days the Bible talks about that the animals are going to turn against men? Because of that, because of violence, because of darkness. When the atmosphere is filled with the opposite of the glory of God, it goes into pain and suffering. When something's in pain and suffering, you know what people are like when they're full of pain and suffering, right? They usually end up being violent to some certain degree, because the pain causes. So it's the same thing. But when the glory of God, when you start blessing the earth, when you start filling the atmosphere and realizing that it's not just the presence of God in the atmosphere, it gets in your sheetrock, it gets in your floors, and it starts releasing the glory. It's hard to believe, I know, but it starts releasing the glory of God that's in every element of everything around you. I don't care if it's the ugliest paint you've ever seen in your life. That ugly paint came originally from something God created, and God wants to redeem it in the sense. So when that begins to happen, when you start walking with God and the atmosphere around you brings forth rejoicing and happiness and joy, then even the creatures, even the animals, the bugs,
who fight against you, cockroaches maybe or whatever. Believe me, friend, when the glory of God fills, those cockroaches will find somewhere else to go and mess somebody else up, something like that. And so the animals are going to love you. The animals are going to, they're going to, why? Because you're carrying the glory, and they were made from glory. And when you begin to release the presence of God, it sets them free, and they begin to be, to love. They love you. You love them because God is love. The presence of God is love, and it gets in. So when it gets in the atmosphere, when it gets in your sheetrock, when it gets in your paint, when it starts filling it, you know, Paul the Apostle took cloth and prayed over it. He took cloth and prayed over it, and then he sent it out, and that cloth carried the anointing of God, carried the presence of God. So, friend, what I'm saying to you is, there's so much I want to say to you about this, because I know this may sound something simple, simplistic thing, but I'm telling you, what God showed me today, but showed me the last few days, it's just been absolutely mind-boggling, And I'm starting to see how you're going to, when you understand this, that instead of things and life fighting you, life is going to bow down to you. Because you have the one who created it inside of you, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And it's looking for you to be there because it wants you to be there. It wants you to release the praises of God so it can be free and be filled and go back to its glory state. And when you understand this, friend, you're going to find yourself that demons cannot come home with you because you have an atmosphere that you live in that demons cannot come. In that place, and not just because of the blood, although that's a big thing, it's because of the glory of God resists Satan, and Satan has to flee. Why? Because your home place is a place that's full of the glory of God, and you feel like you go from feeling like everybody's against you and things are against you, to all of a sudden somebody's for me, somebody's on my side. Somebody's with me, and because the atmosphere itself starts working for you in your behalf, just even emotionally and physically. Adam and Eve, when they walked in the earth, it wasn't just the anointing on them. It was the anointing. It was the glory of God in the earth that loved them, and they loved the earth, and they spoke good over the earth, and they spoke good to the animals. They loved the animals, and the animals loved them. The bugs loved them. The trees loved them. I want you to look at Psalms 33, and then I'm gonna start ministering to people. I want you to see this, man. I hope you can see this tonight. This is a really simplistic message, but it's really very deep. If you can get a hold of this, you can just get a hold of it. Psalms 33, verses 1 through 22. This is talking about all the different elements in the earth that are going to praise the Lord. Listen to this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the highest places. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, O sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, O highest heavens. O you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he gave the command, and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, all great sea creatures. Listen to this, sea creatures and all and ocean depths, lightnings and hail, snow and clouds, powerful wind fulfilling his word. This is just part of it. You know what that's saying? That's saying that lightning and hail and snow and clouds are on your side. They're not going to destroy you. They're going to be used to fight for you. The sea creatures, everything, when the glory of God is released. All right. Mountains and all the hills, fruit trees, and all cedars, wild animals, and all cattle, crawling creatures, and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all the rulers of the earth, young men and maidens, old and young together, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor, that's right, is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up a horn for his people, the praises of all his saints of Israel, a people near to him. Hallelujah. He has look at this. He has raised up a horn for his people. He has raised up a horn for his people. The praises of all his saints of Israel, a people near to him. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, friend. I know this sounds, I don't know what this sounds to you. I don't know what this sounds like to you, but I got a hold of something that, I mean, I've gotten little glimpses here and there, and the Lord has begun to show me that from the creatures, everything that was made, they were all made by the glory of God. And when you start releasing that atmosphere and that place in your home, it will get on your side. The atmosphere will get on your side. It will not fight you. It will not let anything in that room that will fight you, because it's for you. It's there to nurture you. Even the atmosphere that God has made is there to nurture you. Even the hailstones, even the snow, the rain, the clouds, the waters, the everything, the sun, the moon, were there to bless you, there to take care of you, there to give you light when you need it, there to bring you darkness when you need to go to sleep, there to bring you whatever you need, friend. And when we begin to praise the Lord God Almighty, there's going to be, the end time is going to be one major thing, and that is people from all over the world. There's going to be people from all over the world that are going to be against God, Antichrist, against God. There's going to be people all over the same world, all over the same globe, all over the same nations that are going to be filled with people that are full of the glory of God. So what we're going to see in the end times, the battle is going to be over the earth. The Bible says that when those who destroy the earth, God's going to destroy them. What does that tell you about the earth? Those who destroy the earth, God's going to destroy them. That's what the Bible says. Look at it. Google it. Yeah. So there's something about the earth, friend. It is, I've often said, if I had my choice of weapons to fight an enemy, the weapon that I would want would not be machine guns and military might. I don't even need any people. All I want on my side, all I need on my side to win any battle, any war of any kind, is the weather. Give me the snow. Give me the hail. Give me the lightning and the thunder. Give me the clouds. Give me hurricanes. Give me tornadoes. Just get them to me in my hand. And in the name of Jesus, you know, you could win a war without losing one man, without sending one man to war, if you know that you had authority, just like Jesus did, over the elements of the earth. And in the end times, we know that hail is going to get really big, because it says the hail is going to hail down big and kill a lot of people, a lot of things. Look at it in Revelation. The hail is going to be on God's side, and the hail is going to destroy the wicked. It's just one of the things that's going to do it. The elements of the earth are literally going to turn on wicked people when God's people all over the earth begin to praise the Lord. Then instead of the weapons of the atmosphere, the weapons of weather and clouds, and the weapons of the earth being against you, they turn for you. They are on your side now. Why? Because that's the way it was in the Garden of Eden. All the birds, all the creatures, all the bugs, everything, they were on Adam and Eve's side. Why? Because God created them, and they hadn't had any sin in them yet. Therefore, the atmosphere, everything in it, with the angels and everything, was all on Adam and Eve's side there to nurture them, to bless them, to take care of them. Friend, God spoke to me. He said, my people need to awaken to this. This stuff out here is not just dead stuff. It's the first creative miracle God created. You want to believe in creative miracles? Go outside. I said this before. Look at the dirt. Look at the trees. Look at the sheetrock around you. All that stuff came from something that God Almighty created, a creative miracle. All of it came from a creative miracle, friend. And when we can believe God to start believing and knowing that even though it's been changed in its processes and all the processes of factories and man, what man has done to it, still it has the glory of God in it, if you will. I don't know how to explain it other than what I'm saying. But when you start asking God, you can take prayer cloths, a physical thing that you think, you know, that it can carry the anointing of God. A piece of material can carry the presence and the power of God on it. Friend, that just tells you everything. What the glory of God does when it gets on a piece of cloth. What the glory of God does when something that's been manufactured by man. A prayer cloth. Hallelujah. Carrying the glory, a piece of material, carrying the glory of God. Friend, you got to hear this. Get this in your spirit and start being aware that God created the earth, the animals, everything. It's for you. Not there's more for you than there is against you. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Go outside and I'm not a tree hugger, but you know what? I'm going to look at my tree. I'm going to start and blow him a kiss and say, thank you, Jesus. That's a creative miracle of God, and it's alive. And I love it. I love my trees. I love my grass. I love my house. I love my sheetrock. I love the floors, wooden or plastic, whatever they are. I'm gonna because it all came from the glory of God. It all was created out of and from the glory of heaven. And the devil's trying to take it over, and that's what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to try to take over the atmosphere. He's going to try to take over the clouds. He's going to try to take over the weather. He's going to try to take over everything. But you know what? All we got to do, friend, is lift up Jesus. Like this Psalm 33 says, just praise him, sing praises, hallelujah. It starts out, praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the highest places. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, O sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, O highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, and he gave the command, and they were created. Hallelujah. Verse 5. He established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth. All great sea creatures and ocean depths, lightning, hail, snow, and clouds, powerful winds fulfilling his word. Even the winds fulfill his word, the hail, the snow, the lightning, the clouds fulfill his word. Remember when Samuel was God manifest and showed his power that he was with Samuel through the lightning? Everybody saw the lightning when Samuel prayed. The lightning struck. The lightning roared. And they all went, oh, that's God. You remember that? Have you ever read that? Yeah. Yeah. Fulfilling his word, the powerful wind, fulfilling his word, mountains and all the hills, fruit trees and all the cedars, wild animals and all cattle, crawling creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens, old and young together, let them praise the name of the Lord, and his name alone is exalted. Splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up a horn for his people. What is the horn? It's everything in the earth that God has given us. The praise of all his saints of Israel, a people near to him. Hallelujah. Friend?
I mean, I do not know what to tell you
other than you've got to hear this. You've got to understand this. There is more things more for you than there are against you. You just have to realize how to activate it. You know, Jesus knew it. Jesus walked on water. It became a friend to him. The waters loved Jesus. Oh, yeah, we'll carry you. We'll carry the glory. We'll carry the water carried Jesus. And when Peter stepped out on the same glory Jesus stepped out, the water carried him too. Friend, what was that? The waters, everything was made to take care of his people. You think the water's going to let you drown? The water's not going to let you drown, friend, if you're walking in the glory. When you fear, you drown. Because the fear, the water doesn't know what to do. But when you give God the glory and praise him, even the waters, you can walk on the waters. And one of the things that Jesus, and I'm going to stop here,
One of the things that Jesus did was he opened up the eyes of people. He said, I have authority over the elements of the earth. Why? Because I know who created them. I created them. I was there. And he said, you know, I gave Adam and Eve, who were not, Adam and Eve were not God. Adam and Eve were regular folk who had no sin. They had the glory of God. He said, I gave dominion to them, which is to you and me, friend. And what are we doing with it? Are we making the elements our enemy? We curse the elements many times. Some people do. But friend, I'm calling you tonight to awaken to Psalms 133 and read it until you get in your spirit to the point to where you're going to realize, oh, my God, the Lord God rules in the earth, and here's how he does it. Hallelujah. That's why Jerusalem is blessed, because God blessed physical, natural property. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. So there you go. All right. I had to preach that tonight. I had to get into that a little bit. Thanks for being with me tonight. I appreciate you guys. I need you to get a hold of that the best you can and start letting God show you about the things of the earth so that you don't make an enemy of the earth, right, without willing realizing what you're doing. Make friends with the earth. The earth loves you. Yeah. It does. And when you praise God for it, it will support you. You'll find yourself prospering and being blessed. You'll find that money will find you. You'll find that provision will find you. You will find it. The earth will make sure that you find it when it knows that it's dealing with somebody who's a child of God and recognizes you because you set it free. You make it happy when you drink of its resources because that's why it was created to do, just like a mother's milk was made to make that baby satisfied. Hallelujah, friend. Do you see what I'm saying? I hope you can get that into your spirit because it is amazing. The animals are going to love you. The animals will take care of you. Somebody tries to attack you, oh, every dog, every cat, every animal in the world is going to protect you. They'll be going, wow, and they'll be attacking whoever's trying to attack you. I'm telling you, friend, and that's why I talked about in the end times that the animal is going to turn against people because it's a sign of the glory of God, you know, trying to be taken over by the Antichrist or of the anti-God things. Right? Yeah. Okay. All right, let's go here. And all right, here my first, I'm going to take, I think my friend here from Nebraska, 402-533. All right.
God and his commandments in the basically pointing out the wickedness.
Yeah.
All right. I'm here. Andrea, are you there?
Hold on. Okay, we can go. Hi, Randy. I'll touch you again.
Hi.
You there?
Hi. Yes. How are you doing tonight? Pray for you. I hear somebody else with you there. I guess you're on the phone with somebody or talking to somebody in the house there, so that's pretty cool. Now she hung up on me. Or share her call dropped. All right. Let's see, we'll wait for her to get back on here again. All right. Leslie. All right, so let's go here to waiting for her to get back on. There she is. She's back on again. Okay. All right. Andrea, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Randy.
Okay, good. Well, let's pray for you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. All right, I'm going to mute you for a second. We're going to pray for you, and then we'll come back and talk. All right?
Okay.
Great. Let's pray for you. I'm going to mute you just for a second so I don't have any background noise. Thank you, Jesus, for Andrea. Father, we thank you, Lord, for putting first things first, God showing you what to put first, the first things that are important. Sometimes we have transitions of seasons and times, and the Lord says, yeah, I know you used to put this first, and I put this first. And so there's certain things, like when Israel was coming out of Egypt, you know, this whole thing was about, the last plague was about, you know, the firstborn. And then from then on, with Israel, God told Israel to, you know, present every firstborn to me, dedicate all the firstborn to me, always. So there became something about the firstborn and about things that are first, putting things first, and getting things lined up and getting things in order. And I see a new level of order coming to your life, to where you start, I don't know how God's going to speak to you about it, but or even what it's about exactly, but putting things in order, the things that are first, things that are first, second things that are second, third things that are third, you know, like putting things in order in that sense, and realizing that the time and the season that we're in, it's just like somebody called one night and they said, well, Randy, if Jesus is coming back soon, don't you think we should change the way we look at things and the way we do things? I went, well, yeah, I guess so. That's true. But, you know, shouldn't we already be thinking like that? You know, of course, you know, it's a true statement. And if I knew Jesus coming back tomorrow, I don't know what I would change. Because people misunderstand the second coming. They misunderstand totally what's going to happen. So they think that, you know, our houses, our homes, and our having children are not important to God. But they are. Everything we're doing in the earth is important to God. And so if we're doing it in the Lord and we're doing everything we're doing to glorify God and giving God the glory every day, then what would you change? Well, you might get a little more dedicated in prayer. I don't know. I don't know what I would do, honestly. Because what I'm doing right now, I'm seeking God. And doing the will of the Father. So would I change some things? I don't know. I might. But for the most part, if I'm walking with God right now, what would I change? You know, I don't know. Not much. I hope not much. So it's putting things in order, because just like Elijah, when Elijah put the altar in order for Israel, it was about getting the glory of God back into Israel, getting the glory of God back into the earth, getting the glory of God back into the United States, into the earth. And so there's a prayer movement. I don't know anything about it. I'm just prophesying this. But there's a prayer movement that it's about putting God first, putting the things of God first, and establishing the relationship with God first and what that means, and people finding out what putting God first means. Maybe they've already got God first. Maybe they don't have to change anything. Maybe some people might have God second in some things, and they're going to have to, oh, I didn't realize I had God second. So they're going to start to realize, oh, I got to put God first. Because when we put God first, when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the other things, everything in the earth, when we're seeking God first, you know this, when we're seeking God first and his kingdom, you know, when we do that every day right now, then what happens? The things, what things? The things of the earth, the things that God created to take care of us, the things of the earth that are there to provide for us. Like Abraham did, had no trouble finding water when nobody else could find water. He would dig wells. Every well he dug had water. Why? Because he was a blessed son of God, and the earth just wanted to give him water. The word said, oh, no, right over here. The earth says, no. And he would feel this thing drawing him to this certain place, said, dig your well right here. And he would dig that well, and sure enough, the water would just get all and take care of him and nurture him and his family. And the earth just kind of went, man, I love this guy. I love taking care of this guy because I've been made to take care of God's people, to the sons of God. And so that's what putting God first is that the natural things of earth that God has made to take care of us, I don't care if it's a raise in a job. I don't care what it is. Those things are going to come to us. We don't have to go after them. And so there's a movement. I really believe that God's going to start waking up his people, Andrea, that we're going to start seeing whether we've got God first or not. And some of us are going to have God first, some of us are not. And it's okay, because we're going to learn. We're going to find out, because there's an anointing for it, and because we're going to set the earth in order so that the earth can bring forth the true fruit that it's called to bring forth by God in every area, the animals, the creatures, the trees, the dirt, everything. So prayer walking. We're talking about you tonight, right? Abraham, the prayer walker.
Yeah.
So what's going on, Andrea?
Interesting because I could try to put you off a speaker. Is it really bad? Because I'm having the signal's kind of funky tonight.
Okay.
Saw an ad in the paper. I mean, I love my job as a caregiver, you know, but they're constantly shooting me over to Bennington, which is like 45 minutes away, or Fremont, or, you know, and it's all
right
over the place, and it's, you know, you get tired, and it's either feast or famine. You either got too many hours or too less hours, and it's just, you know, and now they're really piling on the hours and stuff. And so, anyway, I saw this ad where my mom is, the Good Shepherd Home.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's an activities assistant, and they're offering $15 to $17 an hour.
Oh, wow.
So, anyway, I was just, I kind of looked at it, and I hadn't even picked up an application yet, and one of my clients that I take care of, she looked right at me, and she goes, "Have you applied for that job at Good Shepherd yet?"
Yeah.
She didn't even know. She didn't even know about it. She didn't even know I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
It was like God was using her to speak to me to apply for it. And I've got an interview on Thursday at 10 o'clock.
Oh, great.
So.
I think that's.
Anyway.
Yeah, listen to what I was just talking about. Listen to what I was just talking about, about how the earth and the people in the earth, it's like when I talked about Abraham, you know, because he was a son of God, he was a blessed man of God. Because of that, the earth just basically told him, "Now come over here, get over here. Here's the answer right here. I'm going to take care of you right here." It's just like that lady saying, "Okay, take that thing." She didn't even know anything about it, but the earth in her was crying out, "Yes, take it."
Yep. Well, I thought that was rather interesting, but I love it now, and I share the gospel with them, and I listen to them, all their hurts and stuff, and a lot of them are very hurt, in the past and stuff, and so I'm going to be missing that, maybe I could do both, I don't know yet, and just maybe part-time for, this one, but I really feel like God's going to open the door up for this, and so I get
yeah,
the money
it's,
because
it's,
they raise... Yeah, they raised my property valuation $58,000 on my home, which means more taxes.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, I was going, where am I going to come up with this one, God? Where's the money coming from with all this? And I got the loans that I have to pay off and all this stuff, and it's just like, and then your thing about, God blessing us and doubling our portion, with what he's sharing with you, I believe things are going to start to make a turnaround here for people.
Yeah.
So, but I've always put God, first, and he knows that. I always put him first, and now I think he's going to open this door. So I'll see what happens. The same day I have, it's crazy because I get like one day off, and I had to schedule an eye surgery for the same day. I get my right eye has scar tissue on it, and so it has to be lasered off because I can hardly see out of it. So.
Oh, okay.
They don't tell you about that when you get cataract surgery and you get that implant, that this might happen, and it happened to the right eye but not the left.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Lord, just touch that, remove that in the name of Jesus. God, we just thank you for miracles. Hallelujah. Let her body begin to release that cataract. However you're going to do it, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name that it's done, God. Bless her eyes, Jesus. Take care of her eyes. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, and I was going to tell you, what's interesting was, remember Stan Johnson talking about that elite person that called him on the phone and told him to ask him questions? about genetics and about the technology and the elite
person
there about 25 to 30 years in advancement. And he's talking about the UFOs, about this, basically we had the technology already to have those in place and stuff. Well, right after I shared that with you, there's an article that came out in this the Globe or something. And it was talking about one of those UFOs. It was talking about our government, the Pentagon sharing about it.
Right.
So, that's the weaponry and the craft itself, and that it doesn't, I guess there's no heat in this craft, and it can go underwater. And it can, without being detected, and in the air.
Right. Yeah, I saw some of that. Yeah.
It was kind of interesting how I shared that video thing with you, and then all of a sudden this comes out.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Starting to really come out now. Yeah. There's a lot of things that seem to be coming out into the open. I think there's going to be a whole lot of things uncovered. I'm not sure where all it's going to go exactly, but it's going to be very interesting, to say the least.
Oh, exactly. Well, God is tired of corruption, too. He's going to be exposing the corruption and the other things. You know, ripping the covers off of that, too. I mean, there's going to be people that are going to be very, very embarrassed when they're basically singled out. It's starting to happen now, but it's going to get worse because God is tired of the things happening. He's not going to put up with it too much longer.
Well, the thing about the purpose for that right now is because he's separating out. A lot of the exposing is not going to do away with the evil necessarily. I mean, that's all going to happen eventually, as we know. But the exposing to separate out, you know, like the tweet from the terrorists, if you will, to separate out.
Oh, yeah.
So that what's wicked will be wicked and what's good will be good, and people can go and make a choice. So that's kind of what I see happening with that. People are wondering, why is stuff being exposed? They think it's being exposed to be done away with. Well, the righteous will try to do away with it, but the wicked are going to be, you know, it's to separate us all out to show what's right and what's not right. And that's part of the process that we're in, I believe, right now.
Oh yeah, but I you know, I'm telling you what though, but you're seeing some of the punishment coming because I do believe that when New York sat there and basically allowed babies to be aborted, you know, right before birth, they were clapping their hands and whooping and hollering and all sorts of craziness, and they were the hardest hit with COVID.
Yeah.
That was one of the hardest hit places with COVID was New York because of what they did.
Yeah. Well, once they let it in, once the enemy let that murdering spirit in, it just gets people drunk with it. Yeah, even though they're really clapping, they're not really clapping because a baby died so much, but that's how blind they are. They're clapping because the mother has the right to do that, I think. And which is even more wicked in my thoughts. I'm going, I think that's even more wicked that they're praising the mother because she has the right to kill her baby. You know, I mean, that's worse than being happy that the baby's being killed. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, you're going to see things happen to where, you know, basically they're judging themselves. They're basically allowing the calamity to happen to themselves because of what they're doing.
Yeah. Right, they're exposing themselves.
Yeah,
that's really good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the more we pray, the more we give God the glory for the earth and what's going on, and like the message, you know, God's been giving me about the earth realm and I've never seen the earth realm like I'm seeing it now, and its purposes and why we need it on our side. You know what I'm saying? We need the weather on our side.
Exactly.
We need animals on our side. We need, you know, because for the most part, animals are on our side to a certain degree, but we need everything God created to be on our side, everything, the atmosphere, everything. And so when I started seeing that, you know, I realized that, you know, that's one of the things that's going to cause a lot of evil to be manifested because the earth is even going to help expose it. Even the earth is going to help expose it. When the sons of God and the daughters of God come forth and start giving God the glory and the praise, and the earth itself is even going to help us, you know, expose it all. So,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I've never seen that before.
So,
it was new to me.
And maybe God's getting this job for me so I can do a little more prayer walking and stuff because I haven't been really able to do any prayer walking. I've been praying, you know, I keep on praying in a group on Monday nights and I pray at the church in Blair too. But, you know, but still, I'd like to go prayer walking. prayer walking some more too.
Right, we're
this might
God
be
to
able
that
to
up.
Help that.
Yeah, yeah, maybe that'll work out good for that. But God's not going to let His. That's what I'm saying. You know, tonight is that when we realize that the earth was made to take care of us, even though now we have we don't run around cutting down trees all the time, and when we have factories, we have governments, we have houses that are made out of metal and sheetrock and that kind of thing. But even within all that stuff, you know, the blessing of God can be in all that, and it could be on our side instead of against us. And like getting, you know, property taxes, and you know, even though they may charge us money, I believe just like Jesus, that one of the things I didn't talk about tonight was that how the earth provided for Jesus, and talk about taxes, your taxes. Look how Peter and Jesus both had a tax problem, right? They both had a tax problem.
Yeah.
And what did Jesus
yeah.
say? He said, "Hey man, go fishing because the fish of the sea give me glory." Go fishing, and he already talked to the fish. I don't know what he did. And the Lord, I speak to that one fish to get that those coins and put them in their mouth. And Peter's on his way. He'll be there in a minute. And so Peter throws his line in there, and the very fish that knew that it was coming, that felt the glory of God on the fish line, said, "That's it. Grab that one. Let that one reel you in, because we're gonna take care of Peter and Jesus. We're gonna take care." So the fish, even the fish, taking care of us. That's one of those blessings
yep.
that Jesus had, because he you know, he was the creator, and the earth loved Jesus, and the fish loved Jesus, and the water loved it when Jesus walked on it. You know, it's like going, yeah, you can walk on us. You know, it was on his side. It was, he had power and authority over it because he was for it.
Yeah.
He was a blessing. Yeah, and it was on his side. And so but I see that happening with every realm. With our finances, with people that are even wicked people, that God, you know, given us the blessings even through wicked, you know, people who don't even know God, heathens, and because when the earth starts working on your behalf, it does it in every fashion and form. You know, the earth, the Holy Spirit will speak to the bosses, and he'll do it, and they're going to start giving us raises and help us pay our taxes, whatever we need to take care of, God's going to provide for it. He's going to make sure the earth somehow or another is going to bring it forth for us to pay for those things we need to pay for.
Yeah, because that was really interesting how she just said out of the blue. I thought, man, yeah, I know that's you, God.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the revelation of things is what helps us believe. When we talk about revelation a lot around here, because when you get a revelation of something, that's what helps you to believe for it to happen, you know. Until we believe it, until we receive it and start being able to truly believe it, then as soon as we start, like Jesus knew that the earth would take care of him, because he when he created the earth, it was all made. God put it in the design of the elements of the DNA of the earth, everything in it, the trees, the ground, earth, everything, to take care of his creation, Adam and Eve, or mankind. And so when I saw God started showing me that, I'm telling you, and loving the animals, you know, loving everything God has made, when it loves you back, it's powerful, man, because God made it to take care of us. And, yeah. So one way or the other, the earth's going to do it.
Jesus. Yeah. And the earth knew it was Jesus anyway, and that was the creator, so the earth would do anything for him anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the Son of God. The earth groans in travail and pain, suffering, for crying out for the manifestations of the sons of God, or the people who walk in covenant with God. No matter whether it's now or 1,000 years from now, it's we have the Holy Spirit now. We're the sons and daughters of God. When we start realizing that and walking in that, the earth is crying out for us. That land, that property that people are looking for, it's crying out for you to find it. It wants you on there. It's gonna find some way to get it taken care of, where you can purchase that land, purchase that house, whatever it is, so you can get on that land and bless it. It's gonna be on your side, even in the financial arena, and whatever it takes. Just like the fish took care of Jesus. It's amazing.
Yeah, I believe he wanted me to have his piece of land, but he's still got to supply the help. So that'll come next. He'll bring the help. So
there you go. Amen,
oh
Lord.
My,
whatever it takes.
I need, Yep.
All right.
Anyway, but that's what's
anything
happening.
You want to pray about?
With
anything
me.
Going on?
Oh, just that, and the job, you know, that if truly God wants me there, you know, that I'll be able to get it, you know. I could be an asset with activities for the elderly, you know, to get their mind moving and just helping them out. And, you know, I've had an art background, you know, and so it'd be great to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, if you can do a little bit of both sometimes without wearing yourself out, if God give you the strength to do it. So, Lord, we just thank you that this whole thing about your provision, that the earth was made to take care of Andrea. God made the earth to literally take care of Andrea, just like it took care, just like the fish thing. What an amazing thing. It didn't just take care of Jesus. Jesus said it's going to take care of my taxes and your taxes. Isn't that amazing? So,
amen.
You know,
amen.
I guess when Peter walked on the water, the fish go, man, we like him too. He's pretty cool. So they decided they're going to take care of Peter too, because even though he sunk a little bit, you know, we like that guy. So let's take care of his taxes too. So the earth went to all the trouble to a fish, for crying out loud. That's amazing, to provide. Lord, we just thank you that you're opening up my sister's faith at a new levels, God, for your provision for her, for that house, for that land, for that property, God. We just thank you, Jesus, for raising up whatever she needs, the people she needs, the way she sets up the property, the way she give her ideas on how to set up the property in a way that takes less people to do it, where it can be done in a fashion, if that's possible. We just thank you, Lord, for you make a way where there seems to be no way. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing her. Bless her body. Bless her money. Bless her finances, God, in Jesus' name. And prosper her, Father, in your will, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That even the earth around her, because she's a child of God, and she's just like Abraham. She's a prayer walker, God. And we thank you, Lord, for honoring her for that and taking care of her and blessing her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. And I
still
say to Rocky Denaro, picking up somewhere too, so we'll still believing for that. The Rocky Denaro, I still say that's going to come forth too.
Okay. Yeah, I've never got a word about any of that, but I know other people did, so thank God for the prophets. We'll just believe God that's going to happen. I know Kim Commit gave a word about that years ago, so hallelujah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. That'd be some tax money right there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Andrea enjoyed it. All right, we'll be praying for you about your sister. Okay, thank you. All right, bye bye. All right. Let's go here to 813-777. Who am I talking to, Ruth?
It's Leslie in Florida.
Hi, Leslie. Yeah, I saw
your
text earlier. Hey, good to hear from you tonight. Let's pray for you. Let me mute you, Leslie, and Leslie from Florida is on with us tonight. Thank you, Leslie. I thank you, Jesus, for setting apart things. I see you setting things apart to God, setting things apart. Like, you know, yourself, of course, we always do that. Sometimes God will have me set myself apart for certain things, like during the election, he had me set myself apart. I thought it would be for a couple of weeks and end up being for several months, surprisingly. But it ushered me into a whole other place. And I see you being ushered into a whole other place, because when God begins to have you set yourself apart or set things apart for him, you know, say, God, this is for you. You know, setting something apart for God is that, God, this is you. This belongs to you. Just like we're talking about tonight with the things of the earth and the blessing that when we start praying and believing and setting our property apart, setting our house apart, setting our clothes apart, setting everything, God, this is yours. This is yours. I give this to you. It's yours, God, in Jesus' name. And so when we start doing that, Leslie, then we start finding the provision of the Lord to take care of our stuff, to take care of our, you know, whatever bills we have, those kind of things. And the blessing of God, Jesus, on Leslie, God, I thank you that as I see her setting things apart, setting herself apart, setting things apart, setting everything she has apart into God and say, God, this is yours. Because when we do that, it puts things, when we put things back into God's hands and keep them there, then God says, okay, I'm going to provide for that. I'm going to provide. So, Lord, I thank you for a special realm of provision for Leslie, God. I thank you for opening up places where she'll be able to be provided for and have finances and blessing and wealth come to her, God. In the name of Jesus, I loosen wealth to you in the name of Jesus. I loosen the financial blessings of God in your life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I speak that the covenant sanctifying set apart anointing of the Holy Spirit be upon you and show you how to set things apart. I give this to you, God. I give this to you. And just giving, you know, like I could have just imagined, you know, going through and praying over my clothes and my stuff and my house and the ground and whatever and saying, Lord, I give this to you, even though I've done it before. It's like there come seasons where the Lord says, I want you to set everything apart because I'm gonna bring a provision for you because what you set apart unto me, I'm going to provide for. So, and I see you also, Leslie, praying over some things, I don't know if it's property or some things to do with that, some kind of possessions, and going like I used to go pray over property that wasn't mine because God would speak to me that, you know, I don't know if it was going to actually be my property or property that he wanted it in his hands. So he would use me to go, you know, pray over property and land, and I'd build a little altar with rocks and pour some oil on it, and that kind of thing, you know, whatever God leads you to do, and separate it out of the Lord so that he could use it however he wanted to. And I see you doing that with some things. And because of that, you're stepping out in faith, like you're stepping out in faith for God to open up the financial realm to make a way to take possession of those things, and I don't know what that is exactly, but it's a possession of things. You know, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all those other things, the things that God has made to meet our needs, they're going to come running to you. Why? Because they're going to know that you're a daughter of God. You're separated and you're sanctified and set apart like Israel was. And God, you know, God had the quail. He sent the quail. The quail just flew over Israel and just fell out of the ground like they all said, here we are, guys. Okay, let's go feed Israel. And they all just fell right into the hands of Israel, the quail. And they ate the quail. Because the quail were doing what God called them to do, and that is, you know, feed my people. So they just flew in and just fell to the ground, like, boom, here you go. So something like that. Anyway, very cool. All right, Leslie, how are you doing tonight? What's up? How'd you like that?
Thank you. Oh my God, I was like trying to write because, like, man. Yeah, you just say so much, but even what you say, you know, like even, you know, when you say a sentence, there's so many dimensions to it. So I hear in so many layers and levels. And then when you get done, I go, whoa, okay, there's all of that. So I was like trying to write what you were saying. But I mean, even in your message, you know, before, the scriptures that you're saying, all of it is just so timely and so pertinent. I mean, even just, I just opened my house up to some young people that were homeless. And so they had to take me on a vacation, or actually they had to take me to drop me off the market. I couldn't drive. So that I could house it for some. And when we left, before we left, I had walked around my property and I just had been having the revelation and just being reminded, just even just going back, God's just been taking me back. It's like childlike faith, go back to the beginning. It's like ABCs. Do you remember, Leslie, when things were so simple? And we've complicated Jesus. We've complicated what we've really complicated it with our mind, and it's so simple. And so I was walking through my property, and I just was speaking to my grass because, you know, I became a single mom, and all sorts of things just happened. And my grass is dying, and I have an HOA, and there's a lady, you know, lady that I could complain about all the things, but ultimately I just was like, this is not okay. I'm a child I am your child, and you care more for me than you do for this grass. And it's your grass, and it's in my yard, and I'm sorry that we're in a drought, but, like, you've given me authority over the weather. I've stopped it before when I've needed to do things, and I've started it before, and so I'm like, you know, I just started decreeing and using the authority. And when I came back, it's funny, there's a tree that has been in my yard. It's the same plant at the same size, same time as another tree, the same kind of a crepe myrtle. Mm. One of them is really huge, and this one was not. And I came back, and I just was standing at the kitchen sink, and I told this young young kid that has moved in, I was looking at him, and I was like, man, I said, do you see that tree? And he's like, yeah. I said, you know, before we left, before you took me to New York, I mean, it's only been like two weeks barely, right? This, you know, I just got back. That tree grew 3 feet. It's been in my yard for years.
Wow.
It hasn't grown in forever. I mean, if it has, it's been
Wow.
It grew 3 feet. Places that didn't have grass have grass. I mean, there's other places. You know, thank God my lawn guy mows my weeds and makes them look nice, right?
Yeah.
But I'm declaring that to not be so, because we have an authority that we were given. We exchanged our nature for his. And all of these words in here, there are words, there are promises, there are inheritance. And why are we walking around in an Eeyore state groaning and complaining? I mean, I understand. I understand COVID. I understand all of that. But I'm sorry. Isn't Jesus' blood more? Isn't his life worth more? Isn't what he sacrificed worth more than what we're having? And how can we lead, how can we, being impoverished in every way, lead anybody else to show them poverty, to show them out of poverty, if we ourselves are living impoverished in every facet of our life? We can't. We can't give them hope when we don't have any.
That's really
stand
cool.
Up. We have words.
Yeah.
Our words are important. Speak them constantly.
Yeah.
We speak them to our body. I can't do that. I won't do that. You know, like, we got to stop. We have authority. Anyway.
Yeah.
Enough.
That's amazing. And then here we are talking about that tonight on the show, and then I start prophesying to you about it. And, so there's something definitely going on about it. I mean, I've had different times where God has spoken to me about this, but it's like he says, you still don't have it yet, Randy. I'm trying to get this to you. You know, I want you to understand this and how simple that it really is. And, you know, I mean, it's all made. Everything that's made is made to make an atmosphere, like your grass. Your grass, God created grass, I think, obviously, to create a beautiful green atmosphere where it's, you know, when you drive up to your yard and it's got this beautiful green grass, it's just nice and pretty. It creates an atmosphere of it makes me think I'm in the Garden of Eden for a second. That's kind of what I think many times, the beautiful trees. You know, I'm like going, why do I think like that? Why do I feel like it's like in the Garden of Eden? What is this? He said, because that's the way I created it. That grass is there to serve you, to bless you, to create an atmosphere for you.
Yeah. To be soft on our feet, to be a nice place to lay our head if we want to lay down and watch the birds in the sky or whatever. You know, we're so busy. Busy with our technology and our stuff and our things to do that we're not still. And we can't hear if we're so busy. We don't listen.
Yeah. There's nothing better than to go out, and I've done it many times, in the yard and lay down in the grass, in that green grass, and look up to the pecan tree and just, you know, hear the birds singing or talking or whatever they're doing, and just watching the whole thing, it's like it nurtures you. And people don't realize how all that is there, and people don't realize, why do I want to go out and sit on the green grass and look at the trees? Because it was all made to nurture us. The atmosphere of all the birds and the trees and the grass, it's all there to nurture you. It's part of our nurturing, and we don't realize it. And so all these people there's pretty well documented fact that especially in like in New York, where there's nothing but concrete for miles or for, you know, a long way.
Yeah.
They said that people have more mental and emotional issues when they live there and they stay there than they do in places where they have grass and trees.
Mm-hmm.
So it just tells you that there's something about it that's more powerful than we realize.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. But
it's not just the thing that God's showing me is that it's there. God made every bit of it for us to have food to eat, for us to have provision. So now we have jobs. Now we do all this stuff, and nothing wrong with that. That's all part of the way it is. But it doesn't really matter what our way of provision is. When we start glorifying God, like I read that Psalms 33 tonight about giving God glory and giving him praise for everything in the earth was created by him, man. It's amazing. For what reason? For us. It was all created for us to enjoy. and to drink in. So even though we have jobs and we got buildings and we got bosses who are not of God, you know, it doesn't matter. When the earth sees us, when the atmosphere, when we're walking in the love of God and walking with Jesus, you know, that the atmosphere, we get around our bosses, the bosses are just thinking, yeah, I need to take care of them. I need to take care of her. I need to take care of Leslie. I need to take care of who, I need to take care of, I don't know, why do I keep thinking I need to take care of you? Because that's what a godly atmosphere does. Even in the earth realm, it says, oh, I've been made to take care of you. What can I do to help you? Like Jesus, we talked with Andrea about Jesus. You know, he said, hey, go fishing, man. The fish are gonna bring you the money. Like, what a weird way to get money, man. But it was just God saying, you know, I've made all this stuff to take care of you. It doesn't matter what it is. Even the fish brought him provision for his and Peter's taxes, man. It is amazing. So this whole thing that the earth itself, it doesn't. We're not in the Garden of Eden, Randy. We're not. It doesn't matter. The earth itself, just the way it is right now, when it sees a son or daughter of God coming, and or you're walking wherever you're going, it's trying to find a way to take care of you. The atmosphere will talk. The atmosphere will talk, if you will. If you want to say to a person and say, give Leslie $500. I don't know why I want to give you $500. Of course, is it the Holy Spirit? Of course, it's the Holy Spirit. But it's also the atmosphere that's there, that all of it was created to say, hey, take care of my babies. Those are my babies, and I made you to take care of them. From the clouds in the skies to the stars in the skies, I just read that in Psalm 33. Everything from underneath the ground, everything was there to take care of God's people.
Yeah.
So, Lord, I just speak right now in the name of Jesus. Everything Leslie needs, everything she needs, it's in the earth, and it's not just the earth itself that does it. Like people say, are you trying to worship the earth? No, it has nothing to do with that. The earth was created by Almighty God to do what? To serve us. The earth, the water, served Jesus when he walked on it. It was serving Jesus. That's what it was doing. He said, I need to get to the boys, and I don't have a boat. Okay, well, you can just walk on us. You can walk on us. And he goes, okay, I'll just walk on you. So he just took off walking like he's walking on the ground. And the waters were alive. The waters were going, man, here comes the Son of God. Here comes an anointed man. Let's get ready, because he didn't have a boat. He has no way to do it. So let's just find a way to get him to Peter and all the guys, because they're having a really hard time and they're freaking out. So let's just, Jesus, just take off walking. They're going that way right over there. Go find them. And even the earth itself helped him go help his disciples, get to his disciples. And then even one of them said, hey, can I walk on the water with you? And Jesus said, yeah, come on, man. Yeah, the water is made to hold you up if it needs to. Come on, you can do it. And because Jesus had such a revelation of that, people don't realize, I mean, I didn't realize, Leslie, that it doesn't matter if somebody evil has access to our money or whatever. It doesn't even really matter who or what. It does not matter. That when we walk in covenant with God and blessing with God and know, it doesn't matter. Somehow, some way, God's going to bring that provision. If you have to go tell Jesus, Peter, to go fishing to get their taxes, that's the way it would happen. It doesn't matter. It's there. It wants to meet your needs. It wants to help you. So, Lord, I thank you for whatever she needs tonight, God. I don't care what it is, whether it's a human being in her life, whether it's many human beings in her life, whether it's people around her, whether it's the money, finances, food, provision, health, whatever it is. In Jesus' name, I thank you that through the power of the Holy Spirit and everything that the earth has been made to bless her with, God, bless her, God, wherever she goes, in Jesus' name. Start opening up doors for her supernaturally. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Let her find provision and be provided for in ways she's never even thought would happen before, God, simply because she understands what we're preaching tonight, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Ignite her faith, God. Ignite her faith that everything around her has been made to say, let's take care of Leslie. What does she need? So when you're talking in the atmosphere, it's not just God hearing you. It's the atmosphere hearing you. The atmosphere has been made to take care of you. Hallelujah. That's why the devil tries to fill the atmosphere with doubt and unbelief, because he knows even just, I'm not even talking about the presence of God. I'm talking about the atmosphere, the air. The Bible says the wind. I just read it a while ago in Psalms 33. The wind brings forth the word of the Lord, does what the word tells it to do. So do it, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your precious love. We thank you, God, that everything that you created, it's not just you doing it, it's what you created it to do it. And I release that in her life in Jesus' name, God. Let her give you the glory, like Psalm 33. Give him the praise, because everything in the earth was created by Almighty God. Hallelujah. And it's just looking for somebody just to take care of. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, let it be done. All right, Leslie, we're getting all crazy and wild here. I love this stuff. What can we pray with you about? What do we need tonight?
Well, I think you just did it. I mean, really, that was it. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I think we kind of took care of everything in one little swap, didn't we? Like anything she needs. Yeah.
All of it. That's it. Yeah. I really appreciate you. Huge.
All right. Well, I appreciate you, too. Thank you very much. Thank you for your faith. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you for your love for Jesus. All right. Amen. God bless you. All right, let's go here to so we have people calling in tonight. I'm going to get to you here in a little bit. All right, 325, is that 325? 225, is that 225 or 325? I can't really see it. All right, I think it's 325. Get my glasses on. No, it's 225, 225-44-454. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please? Hello?
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, great. Who am I talking to here?
Hey, I'm sorry. This is Karen.
Oh, hi, Karen. Karen, remind me where you're from. You're from Louisiana?
Huh? Yeah, from Louisiana.
That's what I thought. I did good on that, didn't I? All right, Karen, let me pray for you. Yeah, I'm batting 1,000 so far tonight, but I don't know how long it's going to last. Let's just believe God. I'm going to remute you just for a second, Karen. We're going to pray over you. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I release laughter into her life, God. I release laughter. I mean, I'm talking about gut-busting, Holy Ghost flowing, laughter and joy. I loosen it. I break it loose from the depths of her being. Like when the flood happened, the waters broke up from beneath and from above. It came down from every area. I thank you, Lord, that your glory comes down from the heavens, rises up from within her belly. For the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, rivers of living glory. And I thank you, God, for the rivers of living glory flowing through Karen tonight. God, I loosen the prosperity of joy. I loosen the prosperity of happiness. I loosen the prosperity of excitement. I loosen the prosperity of the thrill of life, the thrill of Jesus, the glory of God, the manifestations of the peace of God and the crowning of Jesus for his people. When you crowned Adam and Eve with authority and dominion. Lord, I thank you for crowning Karen tonight, God, and let her realize that you've given her a crown of dominion, of ruling and reigning in the earth with you, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for opening that up, that Karen will surrender to you, God, at a whole new level tonight, even right now, surrendering to you, Jesus, that your power will just go through her being and cause every nerve, the nervous system in her body, the nerves in her body, to release joy and peace and satisfaction and wonder and awe in the name of Jesus. I loosen the electrical power of the Holy Ghost that her electrical grid will begin to function in Jesus' name, that every part of her body will be connected totally to communicating and releasing communication from her brain, from her nervous system, all through her nerves, that send all the elements of healing, of blessing, of happiness, of joy, of freedom in Jesus' name, all through her body in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I speak on an igniting of her electrodes in her body, her nervous system, and all of her electrodes in her body to begin to communicate with each other and bring healing and bring blessing and bring joy and satisfaction in her body, God, in Jesus, in her mind, God, that she'll be thrilled, bring the thrill of life into her, God, and not hold to the level in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, let all the anxiety and stress, let that electricity or the power of God from her brain, from her throne room of her brain, from the seat of power in her brain, in her heart, begin to communicate, God, and bring blessing It caused every bit of the stress and all the anxiety and all the things that are tying her up in a knot, God, trying to do that. In Jesus' name, loosen her by the power and the electrical current of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, let it be, God. Vibrate, penetrate, appropriate, in Jesus' name, the blessing of God on Karen tonight, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, Karen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
There, I got you. All right, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Praise God. I'm here.
Yes.
Wonderful prayer. Thank you.
So how are you doing? What's going on? Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for your electrical grid. We're praying over your – I never thought about somebody having we talk about the electrical grid for the United States or a city or whatever. And I start praying over you, and that's what I start thinking about. I don't even know why exactly, but pretty cool.
Yes,
every
it
part
is.
Of your body being empowered
yes,
to function.
Holy Ghost, know I need it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Praise
and I
God.
Keep seeing this, Karen. I keep seeing something out of your belly, like God just loosening. You know, because out of our belly, even in the natural realm, they tell us that our when we have belly health, we're going to have good health because out of our belly flows rivers of living water. Even the physical realm of our belly, the center place of many things, they say when your belly is well and whole, that it causes your health to be much better. So I thank you, Jesus, that her belly, out of her belly, flows rivers of power, rivers of joy. Rivers of satisfaction, God, to nurture her with your love, sweet Jesus. Amen.
Glory
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Yeah. So what is going on? Karen, how are you? anything we can pray about? What do you want to talk about? What's up?
I think you probably just hit it on the nail. Still here praying for my brother that's going through some issues and just staying in the gap for him and keeping my family uplifted as well. You know, just kind of being that, I guess, that prayer warrior and a leader. So sometimes you carry things a little bit different from most. So just, you know, trying to stay filled up and encouraged and prayerful and also seeking directions for my own personal life as well. So, but I feel like my brother is like a very urgent, prayerful priority right now. So it's like every moment of the day, time I get, I'm on my knees literally praying for him. So that's where I am right now. But God is still faithful and good in spite of.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so we just lift up her brother tonight, God. We thank you, Jesus, for the thank you, Lord, that Karen is like Jesus in the sense that she, what I keep seeing you, Karen, tonight is having, Jesus took the towel when he washed the disciples' feet. He took the towel and he began to wash their feet. And I don't know why I see you doing that in the spirit. Like when you get on your knees, like Jesus, I think, got on his knees when he did that. But I keep seeing you. Like while you're on your knees, you're washing the feet of his people, of, you know, like your brother, because that, for some reason, that had to do with him being clean in the house. You know, he said that's what servants did when people came in. The servants would, you know, wash the feet of the people who came into the house. And Jesus said he serves as the greatest. And I thank you, Jesus, for that anointing to wash your brother's feet, God, in Jesus' name, to wash it in your glory, to wash him, God, in your love, and to bring him to that place where he can give glory to God. And I just keep seeing your brother giving glory to God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Give glory to God. What's your brother's name again?
His name is Kenneth.
Kenneth. Yes, Ken. Okay. Ken,
yeah.
Okay. We thank you for Ken tonight, God. We thank you, Lord,
that Ken's going to give you the glory, God. We thank you that Ken is going to give you the glory, going to give glory to God. We just release the glory of God to go through his being in Jesus' name, God. Satisfy his soul, Jesus. Wash him in your in the butter of your glory, in the butter. The butter is like, you know, milk that's been churned and turned into, you know, like prayer. Like prayer is like taking the milk of God's word, you know, the milk of God's presence and churning it with prayer and intercession and turning it into butter, turning it into glory. God, I just thank you, God, that you use Karen to churn that butter, that milk, that cream, the cream of God's word into butter, God, for your glory. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Bless him, God, right now. And bless Karen, God. We thank you, Lord, for making a way where there seems to be no way. We thank you, Lord, for filling the voids. You're going to fill the voids with her, Father, of just her everyday life, the voids that are there, the needs that she that you have created in her to fulfill. And I thank you, Lord, for every need that you've given her as a woman, the needs you've given her, that you made those needs to be fulfilled by you, in Jesus' name, and through people you bring into her life, and that's those situations. We thank you, Lord, for opening that up right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Connections to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. To set the oppressed free, God, in the name of Jesus, and connect and bring, you know, connections and, you know, until death do us part. Yes, that commitment of until death do us part in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I don't know what that's about, until death do us part, but it's like some type of commitment thing going on there. God bringing you that type of commitment from people, from somebody, from someone. You know, like when people get married, they say, until death do us part. You know, that's what the Lord with the preacher, I've done it many times with couples, you know, until death do us part, you know, like, whoa, that's pretty heavy. So thank you, Lord, for that anointing in Karen's life. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Yes, Lord Jesus. To God be the glory.
Yeah. Anything else? Anything you want to add? Any questions you want to ask? Anything you want to talk about? Anything else?
I guess I was just wondering about that whole to death do your part thingy, but God was there,
yeah.
I suppose.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, all I know is that when I, you know, when you perform a wedding to work people, most of the time, unless they take it out, you say, you know, it's like a commitment of until death do you part. That's a pretty permanent connection, you know what I mean? So I don't know why I'm praying that about you, for you, or I'm not sure about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, God has showed the way, of course. I was just curious.
Yeah,
yep.
All right.
All right, I appreciate it. It was definitely a word I needed.
Oh, bless you. All right. All right, thank you very much, Karen. I appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye. All right.
Okay, give me a second here. I'll be right back. All right, let's take another caller here tonight, see what's going on. Hallelujah. If you want prayer tonight, if you're on for the first time and you don't understand how it works, put your hand up or click one on your phone if you want prayer. We want to pray for you, so get your hand up there and click one on your phone. And if you don't have your hand up, get your hand up there so we can pray for you. All right? All right, we're going to take 402-214. All right.
Hey, Randy, thanks.
Hey.
Thank you. I'm Sharon.
Sharon from New York. All right, Sharon.
Yeah.
All right, let's pray for you. I'm going to mute you just for a second. Sharon, let's pray for you. Thank you, Lord, for her the nutrition through her body, God, the nutrition in her body. I thank you, Jesus, that her body being able to break down nutrition correctly and she eats the things that feed every part of her body, God. She's feeding every part of her. Like, God has me, you know, I eat avocados every day. It's kind of it's fat, but it's a good fat. and it's one of the best brain foods, you know, I believe that there is, one of the best. And so I have an avocado every day. Every day I have half one early and then I have half one later. And it's the one that's big, you know. But, yeah, so I have an avocado every day. It's kind of an example of things that God has taught me how to take care of my body, where every part of my body functions. You know, and so in the natural realm, God has provided things for us. So I thank you, Lord, for sharing that she's taking care of her body, that she's doing the things that caused her full body to fully function in Jesus' name, and to eat the things that nurture her body, so her body can heal itself, as well as the power of God healing us. We thank you, Lord, for the natural healing realm of those things in our bodies, God, that you have provided for us. In Jesus' name, open her up to that, God, and give her wisdom, Father, on how to buy things, how to purchase things, how to get the things that she needs for her life and for her to create an atmosphere around her that is healthy, that is blessed, that creates a good atmosphere in her. Like God, you know, gave Adam and Eve an atmosphere that fed them and nurtured them. It's like we're done with the league before, but about being on the grass and the trees and all the things, that all that is atmosphere, and that atmosphere actually nurtures us. The earth was made to nurture us and to feed us emotionally, mentally. People don't realize that the earth feeds us emotionally and mentally. Well, how does it do that? Well, step out there and get in a nice park and a nice place where there's grass and trees and birds and creatures. And just see if you don't go somewhere in your mind, in your mental state, in your emotional state. Believe me, you will be going somewhere because that's the way God made it. So sometimes the environment around us feeds us. Like some people are great at decorating homes. You know, you don't have to have a lot of money to decorate your house to make it. You can have one little room where you maybe you stay a lot. Make sure the atmosphere in there is healthy and uplifting and, you know, beautiful. As you can make it, because it does feed you emotionally and mentally. So I don't know why I'm going to all that tonight, but so thank you, Lord, for giving her wisdom on how to do that and help create her environment. We all have our little own Garden of Eden in our own life, whether we're creating that or we're creating something that's, you know, like men are really horrible about. I'm not really good at. I mean, I can help decorate things if I have somebody who's working with me on it, but. You know, as far as caring about it, I really don't care that much about it, actually, for me personally. But I thank you, Jesus, that how important it is. And that's why you give women that gift, that ability to dress up things and make things nice, because that's kind of what God did with Adam and Eve. I mean, there was an environment, you know, where he decorated it up nice and it fed them, nurtured them emotionally and mentally. So, God, we thank you that not everything is just the Holy Ghost and fire. And thank God for the Holy Ghost and fire, if I love it. But there's something, there's a lot more that God has given us to make us, help us have a happy, good environment in Jesus' name. Amen. Instead of the environment fighting against us and creating an environment of oppression and depression, the environment is supposed to, when it's on our side and the things that God has given to that provoke our mind to think, okay, this is blessed. This is good. I feel good. There's a nice atmosphere in here. Yeah, that's very, very important. And God, all that is of God. All that's of God. Every bit of it, because it nurtures us. And that's why God did it in the very beginning. Anyway, all right. So anyway, hey, I don't know. I'm getting all kind of things going on tonight. What's going on?
Hi. How are you? Well, about... I don't know. 3 hours ago, I was thinking how I wish I had avocados, that I need to have, like, get more avocados. And earlier, it was, the atmosphere in this apartment is so horrible. Everything's all broken and everything. So thinking about trying to make that as good as I can.
Better,
I need to do that. But... you know, how my health has been so bad, pain-wise, that I haven't been able to hardly walk. So, and I've been thinking about that nutrition thing. So that's where, you know, you touched on everything that I was going through. I loved what you spoke about tonight. It was very uplifting.
Really?
But I want to give you a confirmation about what you said.
Yeah.
And this is several years ago, and it's the only time in my life that I knew the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and I didn't know it at the time. It wasn't until later that I realized it was God, and it wasn't the priest talking. You know, his mouth was moving, and it was his voice, but it wasn't his word, okay? And I went up to him after Mass and said, what are you doing telling me I can't smoke, right? And he laughed, and he said, I didn't say that. I said, you did. He laughed. He goes, some other lady heard that too. And I said, I thought he was crazy, right? I thought my priest is crazy because I heard him. He was reading out of this book during the homily, which is when the priest just talked, kind of like what you're doing, what you did tonight. Okay.
Okay.
And the Holy Spirit speaks through the priest during the homily. And a lot of people hear different things. And I didn't know that. Even though I should know that, I didn't know that. And it had never happened to me before. And I actually, when he was arguing with me and telling me he didn't say that, and he's telling me about, well, that was from God. God said that to you. I'm thinking, well, he's nuts because it was his words and it was his voice. And I don't know what he's talking about. But basically what God said to me during this little blip period of time, and it sounded, you know, it's like a different kind of hearing. You probably understand that. But
I don't know.
It was like a hiccup type thing in space or whatever. But I heard the words he was reading, and what God said was that Satan, that God, it was all about the earth. It was about how God, you know, he created the earth to sustain life. You know, to give us life. Everything what you were just saying, okay?
Wow.
Yeah. And he said, so Satan, his big deal is he's trying to destroy the earth. That's his goal.
Wow.
It's to destroy the earth because then it will not sustain life. And, you know, life is from God. So.
That's good.
And this is, well, it's from God. You know, I didn't say it. but it's. Really, it hit me because I had never thought about that way. You know, I think about Satan coming after you with a gun or, you know, obvious things like that.
Right.
Not this way. But this is what God said. And then the next thing he said was watch Hollywood. And and then I kind of was lost and didn't really – I don't really know for sure what that means yet. You know,
Watch Hollywood?
I'm getting the, what?
Watch Hollywood?
The two things, he said, he was saying that, you know, I'm kind of paraphrasing, but the earth, God created the earth to sustain life, and Satan is trying to destroy life. And what he was saying about the smoking was, this blew me away because I never thought of this. When you think about smoking, you think about damaging your own lungs, okay? And now you got to remember, this is several years ago, many years ago. My kids were still home. What he said was, it was all the, think about each cigarette emitting all of that waste.
Yeah.
That was smoke into the atmosphere. That was the goal, was having everybody smoking to destroy the atmosphere, to destroy the air, which destroys the earth. And, you know, I never thought of that, never, ever thought of that. And they didn't even talk about secondhand smoke or anything back then. This was, I mean, so that was, you know, obviously from God, because I would have never thought of it. And I really thought that the priest was was saying it because his mouth was moving and it was his voice. But, that's what he explained to me later. And I even made him, I met him later that night at a prayer meeting, and I made him bring the book because I was arguing with him. I said, you read it right out of the book. And so he went to the page and he showed it to me. And guess what? It's not in the book. It wasn't in the book. So I'm like going, oh, my God. I thought it was in the Twilight Zone or something. But that was then I knew it was God, and that was really profound, you know, for me. That was the first time and the only time I know for sure. I've had things shown to me. Like I was praying the other day, and I had a couple things shown to me, and it wasn't God. It was Satan. But trying to make me think, you know. But as soon as I got it, I knew that's not God. You know, God doesn't say those things. God doesn't talk like that. But it was really powerful about the earth, and it was that same message you were talking about tonight.
That's interesting. Tell me about the hominy thing again. What is that? You mean it's a special thing that the Catholics do that where the priest gets up there and starts reading through a book and people sit there and hear something different than what the preacher is really saying? Is that kind of what you're saying about that?
Well,
or something like that?
Well, okay. In the Mass, every day there are different readings from the New Testament and from the Old Testament. Every day the priest reads out of the Bible. That's, you know, different passages. After the reading, then the priest gets up, and that's called the homily, and he'll speak. He'll talk about a subject. He'll talk about the reading. He'll explain it just like you did tonight.
Okay.
When you were reading Psalm 33, and then you were talking about it, the same thing, okay? Now, apparently, during the homily, the Holy Spirit is speaking, you know, through, just like the Holy Spirit tells you what to say.
Yeah.
Or you get a word from God. Same thing.
Right.
Different people may hear different things. In fact, my priest said that's how he was called to become a priest. Because he was actually he was sitting in Mass, and during the homily, he got the calling to become a priest the same way that I had just, you know.
Now, that's interesting because, I mean, I've never heard that before. I don't think I've ever heard that before. That's why I asked you about it again. Because God spoke to me several years ago and told me that just like when people have healing meetings, and Catherine Coleman would have healing meetings, like she would have healing meetings, and every person in the room would be healed. Every person. So I thought, that's interesting. You know, I would like to see that happen to me. But what the Lord told me, he said, prophetically, what's going to happen with you as a prophet is that you're going to be in a meeting or, you know, blog talk or in a meeting somewhere, and you're going to be prophesying, and the Spirit of God is going. Now, listen to this. This is what he told me, and I never even heard anything like that before until just now. The Lord said, I'm gonna have you up there prophesying, and you may be prophesying about something, but people, each person and every person in the room is gonna hear something from God individually. I kinda went, oh my.
I've never seen it happen yet.
But,
I thought my priest was crazy when he was telling me that. You know, when he was saying that, you know, another lady heard that too. You know, and I'm like, and he's thinking no big deal, right? And I'm like, are you nuts? I had no idea that the Holy Spirit works like that. So I could say to you, the grass is green, and you would hear the bird sang yesterday or something. You know, completely different.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, that's cool. That's the same thing. So that's exactly what it is, just what God told you. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard anybody say that before. I've never heard that from anyone since then. And I remember when the Lord told me, I'm going, well, that'll be awesome, you know. I hope it happens soon. It's been several years ago, but I don't. Yeah.
You've never talked to a a Catholic about the homily and the mass either.
Oh, I don't even, I don't even know what that is. I don't. I thought you guys eat homily like, you know, like corn.
Oh,
you know,
food?
Homily, the food. Yeah, I didn't know what you were talking about. I'm going like, I don't have a clue what that is.
Well, if you watch that one mass I sent you, you know, you'll see it. I mean, the priest talks, you know, after the readings.
Okay.
I mean, you'll see what happens. That's why I sent that to you so you can see what it is. But anyway.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah,
after
interesting.
The priest reads this, you know, after they read the passages for that day, then the priest speaks, and that's called the homily. And during the homily, the Holy Spirit will, you know, speak through the priest a lot of times.
Right.
And different. But I had never, that's never happened to me before. That was the only time that had ever happened. But it was so bizarre. I mean, you knew it was God because I wouldn't have come up with those ideas. You know, that's not in my head.
Yeah.
Right. And Father said he didn't read that, but that someone else heard it too. And then he explained to me that, you know, you'd think I would have known that. Yeah, but I didn't. But
interesting, very interesting. All right, cool.
And my little grandson told me I'm not supposed to smoke outside. And I mean, out of nowhere, he said to me, you know, Grammy, God said you're not supposed to smoke outside. And I'm like, he's 3 years old. He didn't know, you know. And that's exactly right, because outside it pollutes. In the house, it gets filtered in the air conditioner. But, you know, at least he's stopping me. Yeah. So that's an issue. I need help with that. Yeah, I need help with that. I need prayer about that, because I quit after that. You know, I did. I got really mad at God, and I said I was really angry. And he didn't say I had to quit, but he said that smoking was helping the devil, and I don't want to help. So, anyway, I set a date, and I did quit. But before I quit, I told God, I said, I'm going to kill my kids, okay? I'm going to go crazy, because I've tried to quit in the past, you know?
Yeah,
and I just, you know, get so upset. So I told him, I said, you're going to have to do something to help me here, you know, because I'll kill the kids.
Yeah.
I'll kill the kids. I told him that. And so help me. It was the weirdest thing. I quit, and every time I wanted a cigarette, I just said, I love you, Jesus. And pretty soon, I mean, Randy, I have never been so calm in my whole life.
Wow.
Is during the time that I was quitting. I mean, I was as calm as could be. My hands were shaking. I was sweating. I was going through physical withdrawal, but I didn't feel any of it. So God helped me. And I ended up smoking again. So now it's even worse. And I feel really guilty about it. And so I'm hesitant to ask God for help again, but I need it.
Yep. All right.
But
let's pray about
help
that.
Again.
Anything else to pray about before I'm...
Just that, the health, you know, and the finances to get my things back, my sacred things back from... Nebraska. I don't even know what I'm doing there, Randy. I really don't.
All right. Let's do that. Okay. All right. Let's pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to meet you there. And thank you, Lord, for opening all that up, God. We thank you, Lord, for just as children of God, you created everything in the earth to take care of us. I mean, I'm going to keep repeating that until God, open it up, God. Open it up. May the earth do what it's been called to do in Jesus' name. To bring what's sacred, what's holy, what's blessed, what provides our provision. In Jesus' name, open it up. Deliver her body from that nicotine, God, in Jesus' name, so that she will be free of that, Father, in the name of Jesus, and bring her to a whole other level of purity. Just like you do with me at times, you'll bring me to a whole other level of purity. And I'm so grateful. It's like you did Isaiah. Isaiah was brought to a whole other level of purity. Amen. And she cleanse her tongue. Put the coal of fire on her tongue, God, and burn that thing out of her mouth, that desire in Jesus. Burn it out. Holy Spirit, angel, seraphim, whatever it is, bring that coal of fire and put it on her tongue and burn that out of her, God, in Jesus' name, and set her free, Lord.
that she's requesting in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Cool. Very, very cool. All right. 863-808. Who am I talking to right from, please?
Hey, Randy. This is Cheryl. How are you?
Hey, Cheryl from Florida. Doing pretty good. Doing pretty, pretty good. Let's mute you and pray for you. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. God, we thank you for the hand. I just thank you, God, for the hand of restoration, for the hand of healing, for the hand of restoration. God, I just speak that I loosen the restoration, healing power of God to heal her and restore her body, full, sanctified, set apart, purity from, you know, she's talked many times about working all that stuff with her hair products and all that. God, I thank you for the purity of her body, God, that her body, every vein, every muscle, every nerve, every cell, I command you to loosen any effects in Jesus' name of any sort of kind to her body, every cell in her body. Just let's go of that in the name of Jesus and cleanse her body, Father, from those natural elements in the name of Jesus. Send forth a purity in her body, her physical body, her bloodline, her cells, her organs, in Jesus' name, that she's blessed, that her body is working with her and not against her. Just like the way God made the earth, he also made the body to nurture us, to, when there's a problem, to cleanse it, to filter it, to wash it through, to take care of it, to get it out of our body, to wash it out. And I thank you, Jesus, for her body. I speak over her body, that her body be pure as the day she was born in her mama's womb, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That she was conceived and brought forth in the physical realm, in the name of Jesus. Her body be pure. Cleanse her body, Father, from all those elements, in Jesus' name, that are trying. Hallelujah. The glory of God be upon her, God. I declare and decree it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And her blood vessels and everything, anything, in Jesus' name. Whether it's any kind of element other than what belongs in her body, God, I command a release of that in Jesus' name and an anointing for the healing, restoration, power of God in Jesus' name. In her money, in her wealth, in her friendships, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Total 100 restoration of her mind. Like we're believing God for 30, 60, 100-fold of our mind. I'm believing God. I don't even know if I've got 20. I don't know if I've got even got 10. I'm not sure what I have. Exactly, literally, but I'm believing God for 3,600-fold understanding, according to Matthew 13, the parable of the wheat and of the seed, the sower that sowed the seed. He said 30, 60, and 100-fold understanding. God, I thank you for her mind coming to that place of 100-fold understanding. Let her begin to develop, begin to work that in her, Jesus, where her brain, or her thinking, the mind of Christ in her starts revealing to her how to think, when to think, when to not think, and all this in Jesus' name. Jesus Christ had a 100-fold understanding brain, mind, and guess what he did? He said, I can do nothing except what my Father shows me. Hallelujah. He didn't depend on any of his total, pure, 100-fold parts of his ability to think things out. He totally submitted it to the Father, and therefore the power of God worked through him. Unlimited in that. Thank you, Jesus, for the unlimited realm in Jesus' name. You're bringing your people to God 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's 100-fold. That's 100-fold. That's 100%. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Restoration and virtue in Jesus' name flow through her body, God, through her mind, through her veins, through her feet, from her crown of her head to the soles of her feet. The fire of Jesus flowing through her, God, making her body whole as if she were a young child in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Wow.
I don't know what that was about, but whatever. What's going on?
I needed it. I was just trying to stay awake tonight to listen. I was like, I can't stay awake, God, enough. I woke up enough to hear you say, press one if you want.
I said, well, oh, good. Yeah. Great.
Anyway, thank you. Yeah, I was praying that for my brother, and God knows I need it. So, yeah, thank
we
you.
All do. We all need that one.
Yeah. So,
So how's he doing? How's Robert doing?
He actually sat up for the first time in how many weeks, who knows. So yesterday he's doing good. I didn't go up today, but and I haven't heard that he had a really good day. I said good.
Great.
He still sleeps in and out, and you can be talking to him, he just falls asleep, you know. But,
yeah.
So they said that the skin was adhering, so, you know.
Oh, it is? Okay, so it's starting to.
Yeah, it is adhering.
Oh,
the
great.
Best. So, yeah. So,
awesome.
Yeah, and been taking dad up, and so I do have my hands full, been working part-time and here. So I took about 4 days off, and all I can do is sleep. So that's why you're praying for my body. I was like, why do I sleep? But I guess when you're under, you know, stress like that, you just your body just goes, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't even know why I prayed that. I mean, I just opened my mouth, and I never know what's going to come out, actually. But cool. Really, really cool. Yeah. So awesome. For some reason, Leslie just said thank you. It's 11:11. It's 11:11 right now.
Sorry, I said
yeah,
hello.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I will. Okay, let me see. Cheryl says hello.
She texted me.
Hello.
Sleep to answer her back.
Oh, hello. Okay. And what's so weird about that is that it was 11:11. It was 11:11 when she sent it. And I know you're an 11:11 person or an 11 person.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Every time I look that up, I see something else. It's, you know, it's one of the signs of 11:11 is the Antichrist.
No way.
Yes, it is. And I just saw that the other day. So, yeah, that was, you know, I've seen that for about a year. And
how is it a sign of the Antichrist? Because 11 means out of order, like disorder or something?
Yeah.
Because I know 11 means disorder, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. And yeah, I can believe that. But that was always my thing about 11 was disorder, because like when Judas killed himself, you know, then there was only 11 apostles, so it was like they needed to be add one to make, you know, have the order of God. So like one
right.
was anyway. So that's
and of course,
what I was always taught.
12 was always God's order, his government. He always has, remember the 12, Jacob and the 12. The brothers,
right.
The 12 from way
right.
back then, and he would say, set up, you know,
right.
his government until but there was 70. And did you read that God gave me about Israel for this year?
No, I don't know how I couldn't get it or something. I don't know what happened exactly.
Okay, so it was, I can't even get into that, but it was also about God's government that, but I got it kind of weird because I was getting the number 71, and 71 was God's government with Moses. Remember, he said pick 70. So
yeah,
kept it 71, and it's in the end. Well, anyway, it was God's government for Israel, and they're trying to get rid of Netanyahu. He's 71. This year. So
oh, he is 71?
Yes. I kept getting the number 71. And I'm like, because I was praying for 2021. I'm like, why am I getting the number 71 for 2021?
Right.
And so when you look at the number 71 in Israel, it's like Israel was the 71st state when they reinstated Israel, you know, again.
Right.
And I mean, it's just 70, and then even there was something else about 71. I can't think with Israel, but and then Netanyahu this year is 71. Oh, and it came up that there would be a change of government somehow in that word. And I just heard last week that they're trying to get rid of Netanyahu and put another person. And I don't know if it's election year or what, but I was like, I need to send this to him because I know that you've got plans for Israel somehow, somewhere, you don't say, but you might be interested in that. But I think they don't like what Netanyahu did with – I'm sorry, I'm half
Trump.
with this
Trump.
Last plague thing and, you know, how he's dealing with stuff. They're wanting him out. They're trying to ask him. But that's what the word was, that they were – I was getting new government. I'm like, I don't know why God gave me Israel, but evidently we need to be paying attention. Something's going on over there that's strategic, you know, to the end times, I suppose,
right.
Always. So I sent you that, and I think it was a Facebook post, so – it may not let you go. I sent that email.
I have to try it again.
Yeah.
Maybe send it to me again. I'll try it again. Interesting.
Right.
Yeah, I started the show tonight with about Israel. Not about the government, but just about, I don't even know what I got into exactly right now, but talking about Israel. And, Zechariah, where it says that Jerusalem shall come become a burdensome. Let me get there here. Oh, come on. Hello.
I'm here.
Okay, you're still
okay. Can you hear?
Yeah, let's make sure I didn't lose you. All right, let's see. What did I do that? Do with that? Okay. Yeah, Zechariah 12:3 says, "It will happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the peoples, all who burden themselves with it, Israel, will be severely wounded, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered together against it." And so I was talking about how that some people, I think Irvin Baxter says he thinks that the U.S. is going to be like the wings that help Israel fly into the wilderness to protect Israel. But I don't see that at all because I don't know if the U.S. is going to be against Israel or not in this season when this happens, but God's not going to let anybody save Israel. That's why he says, I'm going to make it a burdensome stone. You know, he said that I will make Jerusalem a burden. So God's going to make Jerusalem a place to where it's such a pain. Everybody that touches it is going to be like beat up on, you know, basically. So, but people think that's the devil doing that. I'm not saying God's not going to use the devil, but mainly God, he says, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the peoples. So it's God doing it, whether he uses the devil, however he does it. So because nobody can save Israel but him, basically. He's a jealous God. He's not going to let anybody save his baby but him. He's going to do it himself. That's it. Nobody else.
There's a teaching that someone does that, and I didn't get into it, but that some of us are going to teach the 12 tribes. Have you heard anything like that?
They're going to teach the 12 tribes?
Train them, the 144,000. Just asking.
No, I don't know anything about that.
Okay, all right.
Interesting, though, yeah.
Yeah. That the Christians, some Christians will do that.
Oh,
yep.
I don't know. Never heard that.
I mean, someone's going to have to. If you think about it, they're going to have
you
to
would
be
think.
Trained. Yeah. So I don't know if that goes along with what you're thinking, but.
I don't know.
Yeah. They're going to be virgin men.
Cool.
Yes. And they're going to have to be triadic, maybe Holy Spirit. They're going to be hidden away, right? I don't know.
Right.
Anyway, that's over my head. I don't know. But anyway, so
I think people have the wrong view of the end times,
they have such a perverted, in my, I get pretty strong about it, perverted view of the end times. Because most of the pre-trib people who I love, most of them, and listen to a lot of their teachings. They have a lot of good stuff, but the pre-trib thing is like just a mess, man. I mean, it's like totally backwards. The views yeah. they give of the end times is totally fear-mongering, pathetic. I mean, really, really, really bad. But so if I believe like those people, I wouldn't want to be around either if I believe like they believe. But there's going to be a lot right. more God stuff going on. And the Antichrist isn't going to be quite as strong as everybody thinks. He's going to be dominant because he's going to have unity around the world. But the Christians are going to be all around the world too. We're all going to be all around the world. The Antichrist people are going to be all around the world. So are the Christians going to be all over the earth. But he's going to be ruling in the political arena, so to speak. And just like we got Joe Biden right now. I mean, a lot of Christians still think Joe Biden is, you know, they think he's like a bad guy. So it's just kind of like that. It's like, let's say Joe Biden was the Antichrist, which he's not. And so we got, in America, we got, you know, we got Christians and people who believe that Joe Biden is a great guy and what he's doing is great. And yet you have Christians and non-Christians, you know, who are against each other, so to speak, but we still live in the same country. So that's kind of the basic view I have of how it's going to be, you know, except they're going to be ruling the world in the sense that most of the leaders of the world are going to be anti-Christ, I mean, in nature, with him leading them. But there's still going to be Christians yeah. everywhere also. And so that's why I wouldn't be surprised the 144,000 thing, I wouldn't be surprised at that at all. I've never heard that before, but that sounds cool to me.
Somebody prophesied that I'd be part of that. Just
really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Very
yeah.
interesting. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. And I was like, that's bizarre to me, but I'll go with that God. I mean, is that why I've been hid away myself in a hole in the back of the desert? I mean, forever. It's like, yeah.
Interesting. No, I don't think I've ever heard that. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just like, I think what you're saying, what I was getting when you were saying that about some people think this one's okay, some people think he's not okay, some Christians, it's like we're really going to have to know people by the Spirit. You know, it's going to have to be by the Spirit. So it gets confusing, you know, because, you know, Biden does seem like a quote-unquote nice guy. He could be, like
yeah.
you said, I've heard you say, just led the wrong way, and,
yeah.
you know.
Well, they just believe, I think the Antichrist may be a nice guy. I mean, you know, it's like, and Joe Biden is not the Antichrist. Joe Biden is not the Antichrist, but the Antichrist
yeah.
is going to be, you know, he's going to be very, how are the Jews going to like him if he's not, have some kind of a nice guy thing about him? I mean, he's going to be nice. He's not going to be, like, totally evil through and through, be mean to everybody all the time. He's going to be very...
Yeah.
charismatic, very nice. So to me, the thing that makes Biden, where I don't agree with Biden, is that this part, because I know what they believe and where they're taking it, where they're taking America.
Yeah.
That's what's Antichrist about him, is that they all believe that the one world government is supposed to rule the world and it's going to be a good thing for the world. They really believe that. And when they find out what it's really going to be like, they themselves, I think, will, if they're alive, they're, you know, but if they're dead, they're going to roll over in their graves. They're going to go, oh, my God, we didn't know it was going to be like this. So I don't think it's not quite as they demonize all those people. And by demonizing them, what we do is we overlook that they're regular human beings who are just deceived. And sometimes,
right.
some of them are really nice people, but they're still duped,
right.
which means we can't partake of their duping. You know?
Right.
Or we'll be duped, yeah. Doesn't mean they're...
Yeah, in a system like that, it always looks good on the outside always looks good. I remember just being in the church and I was on stage doing praise and worship, and I was in practice and I turned around, you know, I'm kind of spontaneous and say things I'm trying to learn not to, but I turned around and looked at them all, and I said, there's an Antichrist spirit on the stage. They just looked at me. Like, what is she saying?
Right.
<She's good. laughs> But.
Oh, yeah, that's my cousin. No. Yeah, that's my cousin. How did you know?
But I just remember, you know, until you, it was thinking about it, until you get, or, you know, on the outside it always looks good, until you get involved in it and seeing how things operate and you go, that's when you go, what? You know, it's like you don't always, yeah. Things are not as, things doesn't get exposed because the stuff covers and hides until you're just at the right place at the right time. So not everything, not every spirit exposes itself. That thing knows how to hide. Like you said, the last 3 years, then Satan's going to enter him. It's going to be pretty hard to hide, you know.
Yeah, once he... Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he's got a, his family has a covenant with Satan. I mean, they formed that covenant many years ago. And his grandfather is, you know, one of the, was a biologist. With, when you're in a biologist and you believe in all this blood thing, the DNA thing, which they, you know, definitely have, I wouldn't be surprised if they have a, if they've copyrighted it or whatever you have, you know, have the invention. They've invented it, therefore they own it, you know, so I wouldn't be surprised at all if we find out that to be true. So he brings in the DNA change, and because he does that, that opens him up to Satan, and then Satan fills him, and then, yeah, so, but they're going to present the DNA thing. It's going to be very helpful in many ways. It's not going to be all evil, bad. It's going to be very, what's going to sell it is that it's going to do a lot of good things. But the problem is that it's man's way of fixing man. And that turns into 666, which is, you know, Antichrist. Instead, we are here, you know, we've been talking about the DNA for a long time and the blood and all that for a while. Now I understand why when God gave me the revelation about the DNA is what's going to be, not the chip so much that makes the sells us out and turns us into people who can't get right with God. It's the blood thing that goes on. That's what really turns us into evil, because it's man's way of fixing us through the DNA. So Jesus fixes us through his DNA, through his blood. So it may all make sense to me. And yeah. But it's going to be they're going to have it fixed. They've already got it basically together. I mean, it's basically together now. And it's going to be revealed, you know, before long. But it's not going to be something they're going to slip up on. It's going to be something that we're going to want. Not we, but, you know, the people are going to want it.
Right.
Yeah, they're going to want it because it's going to save them.
That's sad.
In that sense, it's going to be extremely deceptive. Yeah, anyway, so I don't want to get into that, but, yeah.
Well, I heard Bill Gates. There's a little clip of him saying that he wants to put out, there's a little light, this little light of mine, you know, in our brain, where radical Christians have this light or this spark, and he is showing them how that he wants to, you know, fix radical people.
Yeah.
And he puts the light out, basically.
Yeah. I don't know that may be true in the sense if that works out in the DNA blood thing. I think that may be exactly right if they can do that with DNA. So probably can, yeah. I don't know, but
well, they're working on that.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
Meanwhile,
it's amazing. Yep.
So I've been waking up in the morning. So this is me. I mean, I feel like people aren't ready. And I don't want to spend all my time praying for people that aren't ready. But if that's what it takes.
Yeah.
You know,
Well, the Bible says prepare the John the Baptist anointing is to prepare the way. So preparing the way could be, that's what John did. John spent his time preparing people for Jesus, you know. I don't know. That's what he did. He opened up the door. He had an anointing for preparing them. In other words, his mantle was waking people up to, it's happening right now, y'all. Not next week. Mm. I mean, not next year. It's going to happen any day. I don't know which day he's going to be here, but it's like now. And that's what the John the Baptist does, anointing does, the Elijah anointing. It awakens people to, that's why the Elijah anointing doesn't come until the proper time, because the Elijah anointing, just like on John the Baptist, came to do what? To wake people up to, you know, it's at hand now.
Yeah.
In other words, it's not 3 years. It's not the next generation. The Elijah mantle on John the Baptist was the power to say, to shake the heavens when he cried out, "Repent, ye therefore, the kingdom of heaven is at hand," because it awakened people to it's right now. So at the right time, the reason the spirit of Elijah doesn't come in the end time until it's time for it to come is because he's not going to be coming until it's actually time. Just like with John the Baptist, you know, it's time. When the anointing comes on the people of God, or the men of God, or the women of God, whoever they are, that have that voice and that power on them, the main thing that it does, it's not about signs, wonders, and miracles, although it's definitely all that too. It's mainly awaken, prepare, because it's happening now. It's going to happen now.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I was praying tonight. I said, Lord, I was like thinking of some churches. They don't want the power. And I said, God, just go ahead and give me the power they don't want. Just give it to me. Because if they, you know, you go in and you go, God's wanting the glory to come. We need the glory. We have to have the glory for his power and glory. And it's like, we're doing our thing. We're pretty happy over here. And I'm just like, I'm tired, Lord. Just give me the power that they don't want. I'll be glad to have it. That's what I prayed.
Wow,
so,
cool.
Because you just get tired. You just, you know, it's like, okay, if you don't, it's like God. He doesn't always, he'll tell people, then that's it.
Yeah.
There'll be a time, and then that's it. It was a time of always with the prophets. You got this time, get it together, that's it. So I'm not saying that's it, but I'm just, in my own heart, I'm just saying, give it to me. If they don't want it, give it to us. Give it to the people who want the glory of God, who want the power of God. Give it to the people who want a church that's full of the glory of God. You know, let that transition happen. People that are hungry for God, you know, when two or more gather together in his name, he is in the midst. I mean, if you don't let him be in the midst, then, you know.
Yeah.
What are you there for? What are we there for? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The amazing thing about John is that he never did a miracle, not one, you know, at least in the miracle realm that Jesus did. And yet the power of God on him, we got to, one thing that God showed me, he said, you got to recognize what the glory is going to do when the glory shows up at a certain time. Is the glory going to preach, repent ye therefore, the kingdom of God is at hand, get ready, it's happening now, without one miracle? You know, or is it going to be, about when Jesus came? You know, he did all of it. He preached repentance, but he had come, and therefore when he came, miracles did happen, signs and wonders did happen. But it depends on what glory and what the glory is specifically the manifestation. Because sometimes I've tried to make the glory God put on me do something that it's not supposed to do. Like
right.
I used to try to be a healing evangelist. That was I wanted to be like Catherine Coleman. I love Catherine Coleman. I wanted to have her, the same Holy Spirit she had, and manifest that kind of way. But the Lord never, I mean, even though I walked in that to a certain degree, it was very minimal, but compared to hers, but God for sure, he said, Randy, you don't understand, the glory that I have on you is like an Elijah anointing as far as is to waken people up to, it's going on now, y'all. It's not going to be the next generation. This is happening now, right now. It's at hand. It is. You know, you heard me. You've talked about this, and I've talked about this many times,
yeah,
about my experiences back in the day when I first got saved. Well, I used to go up to my daddy's grain elevators, which are about five stories high, and literally, God is my witness. I mean, my dad got mad, threw me off the he didn't throw me off the top of it, but he made me get down. But me and my friend, you know, my friend was just standing there. But I said, we got to go up on top of the grain elevator. And so I got in there, and went up the grain elevator. It's dirty up in there, and it's, you know, with stuff everywhere. And I go to the top of the grain elevator, and I'm crying out. And it was my message for years. Repent, ye therefore, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Not even knowing what I was doing, not even realizing that was the glory of God on me for my generation. You know, in other words, God's saying, he said, Randy, you don't realize that the glory of God on you, you can't try to make things happen. You can't try to make miracles happen when the miracle that I'm going to use you for is going to be to wake people up to it's at hand. And when they wake up to that, then the miracles can happen to them and all the kind of thing can happen to them. But you see what I'm saying? So we have to understand what glory is upon us.
Yeah, I get it. But, you do want to do a miracle every now and then.
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm not saying that. My point is not that. Because what did Elijah do? Elijah had, Elisha did twice the miracles that Elijah did. So they did miracles. It's not that's not it. My point is that, you know.
I get it. I do get it.
Yeah. Okay.
And that I do know that's what I'm called to do. Because that's what comes out of me on a daily basis. You know, it's just like wake up call,
there you
wake
go.
Up call. And nobody, who wants to be woke up? It's like, oh, I get to, you know, be the alarm. Hello. You know, nobody wants to hear an alarm. They just want to shut it off and sleep some more. You know.
Absolutely. But, it's rude. It's awakening.
Hello.
Yeah, wake up.
It's like,
kid.
Could I just kind of, be a little more charismatic and cool and, I heard Nikki call you swag. Okay.
What is swag? I don't even know if I know what swag is. What's swag? Is that like?
Oh, it's totally cool, Randy. It's, totally
cool. Oh, way. There you
cool.
go. That is me, man. Yeah. I'm receiving.
But the thing about it is, the way it's that you've walked in something, you know, when a person's walked in an anointing for a long time, they learn to steward it, and they do get smooth with it to some degree, and it comes easy. It's not
it's natural.
The difference between knowing your stuff and coming from your authentic self, as some would say, it's so authentic with you. It's so a part
natural,
of you. Yes. So that's,
right. It's super natural.
Natural.
It's so super, it becomes natural. But it's really
so
not
he
natural.
Makes you look, the Lord makes you look good, you know?
Yeah.
The Lord.
He does.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, he makes me look
Thank
swag.
You, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I take it, whatever. Yeah, it is true, you know, and I had a hard time breaking into that because, I couldn't figure out because I used to pray for hours, you know, hours. And, 8 hours a day. I thought I was carnal because that's all I could do because I didn't know anything about anything, you know. I knew nothing. And I'd pray in tongues for hours, literally. Thank God I was able to do that. But so every time people say, well, how come you don't pray like that now? Are you backslidden? I'm going I don't know. Maybe I am. I mean, I didn't even understand, you know. And so I would try to go back, and I went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Are you fasting now? Do you ever fast? You ever doing if you're not fasting, you know, it's like I said, yeah, I used to fast all the time. I used to fast 40 days several times and 30 days and 20 days. And I used to be a fasting person. I was fast.
Yeah,
I did it all the time. But you know what? It's like when I came to that place and I went back and forth and back and forth the condemnation of condemning myself over how come I don't do that. The Lord says, you know, all that stuff prepared you and made you what you are today. So just relax and just do it.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it came to me.
Yeah.
Like, now that makes sense. That made sense.
Well, I call it tabernacling to a certain degree. It's like,
yeah, yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm.
You learn, you know, you come when you're, you know, you start learning to walk with the Lord, you come in and out of the spirit, quote unquote. You know, you get in the spirit, you can do crazy,
yeah,
you can, you know,
yeah,
prophesy, and then mm-hmm, it's, you know, it's just a natural thing. You just learn to walk in the spirit. It's,
yeah,
it's, you know, Paul said, are you not still babes? You know, they were doing crazy stuff when they were young. And he says, I have to feed you with milk. Well, you've gotten the milk and the meat, and you've grown. And so you're just,
mm-hmm,
you know, stewarding the anointing now. You've learned to walk in the spirit, right? I'm trying to figure it out scripturally, but.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I understand. Yeah. Most people are trying to figure it out. I'm still trying to. I can't say I have it all figured out for sure, but yeah, I did figure that,
yeah,
part out, that because I've talked about it here on the show, you know, over the years, because I didn't even understand it. And he said, I've built the times you were praying and fasting and, you know, 40 days.
Yeah.
I mean, going with that food, I would go from 220 pounds to 160. I mean, I was skinny. When I'm 220, I'm skinny. So I went from,
yeah,
like 220 to like 160, 170. I was so skinny. People thought I was dying. And I did that for years.
Yeah.
And I go like, okay, you know, God, so why did that, why? He said all that stuff you were doing in agreement with me was building in you the sanctuary so that you can just sanctuary with me. In other words,
mm-hmm,
he built it. He spent all that time praying in tongues, all that time praying in the word and seeking God, not even really knowing what I'm doing. He was building in me a sanctuary that,
mm-hmm,
so now I just live in that. I don't have to build anymore. It's already been built, so to speak. You know, and sometimes my experiences are heavier than others. Sometimes, you know, I have a heavy anointing come on me that'll manifest, and sometimes it's just regular, like most of the time I don't feel anything. You know, I just flow, and because I'm in the sanctuary. You know, I don't have to go, you know, run to the sanctuary. I am. Jesus, Paul said, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? So what do we got to groan and travail about trying to get to the temple when we are the temple? It's just learning that and getting all the furniture in order and getting the Ark of the Covenant where it belongs and putting things where it belongs. So you just sit there and you go, you just walk in and go, yeah, here it is. You know, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Just do whatever God tells you to do.
Yeah, it's a transformed mind as well, the spiritual mind, life and peace. And sometimes I wonder sometimes about me when I, like, when you're I got to a place where I walked to more in life and peace, but when you're around people who don't have peace, there, it's like a war, it's like an invasion. Those spirits try to invade you. I've been around some people that have lots of turmoil, and it's like a, when they're around, those things I can literally feel, especially when I'm asleep, they try to transfer over to me. So I'll wake up, what? And that thing makes you think that it's you sometimes, you know what I mean? And you're feeling somebody else's,
yeah,
stuff. So that's one reason that I'm tired and my body's like, what? Because I'm tired. You know, it's like, and right when you think, okay, we got this swift, it'll like raise its head, and you know, like, no. But
yeah.
Anyway, I didn't mean to get off on that, but it's something that I've been dealing with. I'm like, and then if you feel, if there's a spirit of fear from that, I'll start thinking about things I need to be afraid. So that's just been my,
yeah,
battle lately. Like, no, that I've learned not to walk, but I want to be sensitive too, because sometimes, like you said, you felt the fear of the Lord. What can you describe what you felt, what that feels like when you feel the fear of the Lord, like in a situation, like if the Lord's saying, okay, you need to pray for them because they're in trouble, or is what,
yeah.
Can you describe that, what you felt when you felt the fear of the Lord?
The last time I experienced it was when Joe Biden became elected president, because I had the two numbers, 1134, happened to me. Two separate business situations had nothing to do with each other, and yet the same numbers came up on both ones on the same day. And so I didn't know what 1134 meant. So I'm like, going, what is 1134? And I never even thought about 11/3 being the election day, you know. And then I thought, oh wow, that's, that has something to do with the election. Something to do with the election. I didn't know what it had to do with. When on the election day on 11/3, when nothing happened, you know, no one was elected. I came on the show one night and I said, you know, if 1134 means anything, because I'm still trying to figure it out, right? I said, if 1134 means anything on 4, which was on the 7th of November, which is 11/3/4, then if something happens on that day, I'm going to know 1134 has to do with something powerful. Something amazing,
yeah.
Something new, something different. So what happened that day? Joe Biden became the president of the United States of America, even though Trump fought him like crazy. And that's why I could come on the show and go, Donald Trump's not going to go anywhere because of that very thing. But the very day you told me about the fear of God, I woke up and I got up and started watching TV, and I kept thinking, I didn't know whether they were going to have something happen that day. I was just like everybody else, like, well, if it means anything, it's going to be powerful if something happens on the 4th. Sure enough, it did. What happened inside of me was like in my belly, awe and a fear. It was fear and awe in my belly area that just kind of, I don't want to over-exaggerate. It felt like it exploded inside me, or it just resonated through my being. And something told me, the Lord was telling me, that now everything I've been telling you, Randy, is about to come to pass. In other words, the kingdom of God is at hand. And I went, but it literally was a fear, because it's like all of a sudden I awoke to, it really is. Okay, God, you've been telling me all this stuff. And now when that happened, 1134, which when two numbers come together like that, with like with Pharaoh, Joseph told Pharaoh, he said, your two dreams, because they're both the same, it means that it's sovereign and it shall be no matter what. And that's why I could come on and say, Donald Trump's not, he's out. That's the only reason I could say that boldly. He's not going to win any of his, this is about one day, the same day or maybe 2 days after Biden became the president. I said, Trump's not going to win anything ever again. I mean, as far as, you know, and so all those things, they're over with. He's not going to win any of his 60, lawsuits that he had going on. He's not going to win any of them. I came out boldly and said that. And I went, oh, my God. And that all that was given to me out of the fear of the Lord that exploded in me and said, Randy, it is now at hand. And that knowing that it was literally going to happen now, the kingdom of God is going to come now in this season, and my job is to say it's at hand. That all happened,
yeah,
in my belly with the fear and reverential awe of God. It exploded inside me. And it,
yeah,
was more of a feeling like,
sober.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I was going, oh, no. I wasn't going, oh, boy.
Yeah.
No, because what God has shown me is it ain't cute. I mean, it's powerful. It's amazing for God's people. But it's not, it was something that I was struggling with. He showed me the two witnesses several years ago. He showed me the unveiling of the Antichrist, you know, as you know, you've listened to this for a while, so you kind of,
yeah,
remember some of that stuff. Yeah, you remember some of that stuff. So, and that's what he was talking about. He said, Randy, all the stuff I've shown you, it's now, on the 1134, he said, now it's going to come to pass. It is at hand. And literally something in me was scared, not happy. I was like, oh, no. That's what I said. Oh,
yeah.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. So it's like his wrath is going to be poured out. That's one thing. I mean, that's the terrible Swiss sword. I mean, yeah. It's a terrible side of a creator,
yeah,
who can you know, the Creator can destroy just like He creates. He, the Lord gives and takes away. And so I guess that's too what I feel, and I feel that for the people around me. And I, you have to be able to even, you have to steward that as well. And you can't come across, so, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You,
yeah. Everything has shifted. Everything shifted that day. And God,
yeah.
And God showed me what shifted was, it wasn't about Trump not being president. It was about the one world government is about to form and shake. Everything, when the voice came to me in 2005, January the 11th, 2000, hey, there's January 11th, there's 11 again. January the 11th, yep. 2005 is when the voice came to my ear and spoke in my ear like a little child and said, there's a massive merger coming. Well, you know, I mean, even though there was a lot of stocks that merged and blah, 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 and companies that merged, but that wasn't it. It was God connecting me with the merger of the one world system. That's what He was talking about. That's what that voice was telling me. And so that's what awakened me to the whole market anointing and to the whole financial arena and the political mantle and all that kind of thing. That's what awakened me to all that was that. And it connected me to it without me even knowing what I was connected to. All of a sudden I knew things that I'd never known in my life before. And so it was all about that. It's happening now. It's that the one world system is going to come together, but so are Christians. So are believers. So, you know, when the two witnesses come, as they come, they're going to tear up the Antichrist everywhere he goes. People have a wrong image of what's going to go on in the end time. All they think about is, like you said, the wrath of the devil or the wrath of God. You know, and it's going to be different. The wrath is going to be different than they think. And they've been totally mistaught on it, represented. The devil has used well-meaning, God-fearing people to plant fear, mongering, through pre-tribulation fantasies into the body of Christ, where now the very thing we've been called to be crowned with glory are scared to death and hoping we'll get the heck out of here because it's going to be so bad. That is the pathetic, demonic activity of the religious spirit that I call Jezzy.
Okay, so I got a pause right there because that's what I was saying. There's going to be the vials of wrath poured out, but the children of the Lord are not called to wrath. So we're not called
right.
to wrath, and I know that that's how they get out. They get out on that one. They go out in the first load on that. We're not called to wrath, but you can't. When you read that in Matthew, it's right there. They're going to bring you up before kings, and I know that was about what was going to happen to them personally, and blah blah blah. But it's also end time stuff, and they're going to. You know, there's going to be persecution. But who, no one wants to go through that either. Who wants to think about being persecuted? But anyway, so there is a glory. The glory in that is that we are not appointed to wrath, that there will be a glory upon us the whole time, those that will walk in it. And that, you know, we're talking about waking up in fear. We're talking about dealing with the fear that's going to try to grip people's heart in the end times. And I go, and then that's part of that transformed mind that you have learned to walk in and the glory that we've been talking about. So we choose, you know, to continue to walk in that transformed mind and in the glory and not give in and give way to the spirit of fear and, you know,
yeah,
knowing that we're His even to the end.
Right. Well, one thing people got to quit doing, they got to quit listening to these fear-mongering preachers that preach that you know if you're here when the Antichrist is here, you're going to get your head chopped off. That's what they tell you. Well, just go read the Book of Acts. What's the Book of Acts going to be like? It's going to be some people getting their head chopped off. I'm sorry, that's just the way it's going to be. But the power of God's going to be flowing. You know, God's going to be protecting His people with the Ananias and Sapphira situation, where God's protecting His people from lies and deceptions and financial
you know, lies and those kind of things. All that was going on at the same time. So people don't realize,
right.
I've been telling people lately, the best way to think about the end times of the tribulation, the Great Tribulation, is look at the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the perfect picture of Great Tribulation.
Right.
People are going to die. People are going to die. But not everybody's going to die. The church is going to be strong.
Yeah. And then when they did die, remember, was it Stephen? He said, I see the heavens open and the glory. And
yeah.
I mean, he's sitting there right up until the end. He wasn't afraid. He's like, he's getting these huge, the heavens opened. Heavens was opening for him to come. But he was already seeing into the heavenlies. He was already there. He was already there. If you're already there, you know, God's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. He's going to open up the heavens, and he's not going to – you're not going to feel the whole brunt of it. I mean, if I didn't feel the whole brunt of having a child in the Lord, you're not going to feel the whole brunt of – he's going to – there's a glory that's going to go with you. That's all I can say. There's a glory
that's going to go with it. That's a really good example. That's a really, really good example. To explain to people, because just like Stephen, maybe he felt the first stone hit him. After that, he was in heaven. You know, he went, and his body was being stoned, but he didn't feel a thing. But we see is, oh, the blood and the whatever, you know, and the death, and we see and we look at that, and just like people telling people about, if you can imagine raising a daughter, telling her, oh man, when you have a baby, oh honey, it's going to kill you. It's so bad. It's so bad. Make sure you want to have children, because when you get ready to have the baby, you just feel like you're being torn apart. It's going to be horrible. Could you imagine some mother telling their child that? You know, I mean, is it true that some of that is right? But when you feel a child when you have babies, that's what it's going to be like. What are they going to do? They're going to fear it. They're going to, oh God, no, not that. And that's the same thing that's happened with the pre-trib teachers. You know, as much as I love most of them, you know, they're just amazing. But at the same time, that very thing, the enemy's used them as good people to indoctrinate people into a hellish fear of the very thing that we're going to be walking in the glory about. They've got them scared to death of it. I've heard John Hagee and many of them say, you can be here for the Antichrist, you're going to get your head chopped off. You know, I heard you know, several of them talked about when they were young children, how the preachers would come in, and that's how they get people saved, because they wanted to have a lot of numbers under their people. Oh, how many got saved? Well, they all got saved. What were you preaching on? Well, on the second coming. Oh, really? That should have – but how did they get – what did they come down at the altar? Well, when I told them, if you're going to be here for the tribulation, you're going to get your head chopped off, they all ran down to the altar and got saved. I'm going like, you know, you stupid, ignorant donkeys – you know, I mean, what is wrong with you? You know, and that's what they did. And that's what they did. They raised the whole generation. Perry Stone talked about it himself. I heard Perry Stone talk about it. And the preacher that he loved was a very, 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 very well-known preacher who told him that when he was a kid in a meeting where he, so anyway, you know, I really have, that's one of my pet peeves. So I really go off on that.
I can tell.
Yeah, it is a pet peeve. I've dealt with it all my life. Yeah.
I was raised in a Baptist church, went to Assembly of God, but when I got saved, I mean, I had conversions. I mean, I think the Lord sees it as a child. I told my son the other day, I said, the Lord sees our little hearts and our conversions, and he hears us. But I had a conversion of love when I really turned my heart over to the Lord. It was love. It was love that drew me. It was love
that
saved me. And then the prophet said, a pure anointing come upon you. So that's, now when you're talking like that, it makes me understand what the pure anointing is being saved, being drawn in with love instead of being fear-mongered into a decision.
Yeah.
And then that anointing then is that fear thing, you know, fear, fear, fear. And fear-based everything instead of love-based. So
yep.
Just a thought.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. That's same thing happened to me. I got love was the only thing I knew when I got saved. I didn't know anything else. For the first time in my life, God loved me, and I literally felt love for the first time in my life. Other than a few crushes I had on the girls when I was in high school, but I literally felt pure love for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
That's the same experience. I didn't get saved out of fear at all. It was I was out, I wasn't even in church when it happened. It was between two beds in a hotel room on a job site. And I just cried out, and he cleansed me and washed me, and then nothing but love after that. All right. Awesome.
Yeah. One more thing about that love. That love was incomparable to anything. His love is incomparable. And so that's why we, like in Song of Solomon, like she's always going after him. She couldn't, it's like, I want that. And that's what I want to experience, that love that I felt that day over and over again, because it's heavenly. It really makes you feel like you're walking on cloud nine. You know, I felt like I was literally lifted out of this earth. I became born again, spiritual, and I felt like I was walking in the clouds, you know. So, and that's that. Wow. I mean, you know, like you say, you come in and out, you know, and then you learn to abide in that. And so there's a maturing in that, you know, that we don't always feel like we're walking on the clouds, but still that abiding presence is beautiful. So I just felt like saying that after we talked about all of that. You know, well, I don't, you know, some people, I don't feel that, you know. But anyway, so thank you for your time tonight. Now I'm wide awake, so. What?
Cool.
All right. God bless you.
I know.
Thanks. Keep my brother in prayer. All right.
We'll be keeping Robert in prayer. They said he's heating up a little bit better. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Very, very, very good news. Awesome.
All right.
Love it, everybody. All right. Talk to you later. Enjoyed it.
All right. All right. Good night.
All right. Let's go here to 551-404. Who am I talking to? Refund, please. Okay. There we go. 551. Echo 551-404. Hello? Hello. Probably fell asleep with all the love flowing around, all the joy, all the whatever. 551. All right. Sound like 551 is gone. Sleepy pie, maybe. I'm not sure. All right. Gonna miss them tonight, I guess. All right. So that's it. That's my last caller with their hand up. We went all over the place tonight. Hallelujah. We went from starting out with praising God for even the bugs, all the stuff that God has made, and the winds and the hail and the weather. Oh, my God. I mean, I don't know why this being so impressed to me right now. God's really impressing me with that. I don't even understand it, but it's just, it's amazing. It's literally amazing. So we need the atmosphere. We need everything on our side, friend. And God made it to be on our side, and the enemy turned it against us. And, I mean, the atmosphere you're in, it's not just the Holy Spirit atmosphere. It's the atmosphere of the air, the environment, you know, all that. It's just, it's all been created. It was all created by God for us to breathe in and receive life and atmosphere and joy and peace. And, just the air. The physical little oxygen in the air. Yeah, even that. It's just all created by God, friend. We get a hold of that, and we start breathing in everything we do. We breathe in and out. We move and have our – live and move and have our being in Christ Jesus. Everything he's created, man, the whole earth will
find a way to bless you because God made it to do that. I'm telling you, I'm getting a hold of this thing, and it's amazing. I'm loving it. All right, so 551, I guess let me try one more time, 551. 551-404. 551-404, you there? All right, I guess they're gone. All right, and 251-229, I think I already called on them. All right. Okay. All right. I'm going to call it a night, y'all. It's midnight. Wow. We wake people up and then we say bye. All right. So good night, everybody. It's been awesome. Thank you for being with us. Pray and believe God for this. Just believe God for revelation. Because revelation, or, you know, impartation of the Word of God, understanding, is what gives us the faith to connect to what God has already done. And we connect to it. And it becomes alive to us and real. We'll be praying that for you. All right. Thank you very much. God bless everyone. Bye-bye.